20th, 2006, Emergency Board, the Oregon State Legislature, State of Oregon, and I ask for a motion to approve the October 28th, 2005 minutes.
Come on.
The motion has been made by the Speaker, Karen Minnis. Is there any discussion? Is there any objections? The minutes were approved. Receipt of reports in blunt action on consent agenda. Recognize Representative Barker. Where is he?
He's getting coffee.
Boone is right handy.
All right, Representative Boone. Fix these people, rock and roll. Representative Boone, do you have something to say, please? If you don't, I'll go up.
Do you want me to read this for you?
Yes, please. Do you know the pony?
I am hoping this is it. Human Services Subcommittee recommends the Emergency Board approve en bloc the following six agency reports as described by the Legislative Fiscal Office analysis. Right there. I turn this over to Representative Barker.
Thank you, Representative Boone. Representative Barker, please.
Item 39, Department of Forestry, a report on the availability of federal funds for increased initial attack capability and implementation.
Stop, please. Yes, the LFO staff, executive director of all, Ken Rocco, issued a timeout. Yes.
Mr. Chair, I think we would like to hear the pony on the agency consent.
You're reading the wrong one.
I couldn't hear
you. He couldn't hear you. Could you?
Quibbling over details.
We're looking for the reading of the pony on the agency report.
Why don't you do
report.
This? Walk over there, please. I'm not going to insult or embarrass anybody. Just do it.
It's not
there.
Isn't that it?
I'm sorry. He was there.
Oh, that's good. Representative Barker, I'm very sorry.
No problem.
And you should be one of my... All right, we're now back on the record. Would you please proceed, Representative Barker, please?
Item 39, Department of Forestry, a report on the availability of federal funds for increased initial attack capability and implementation of state law related to wildland-urban interface. Item 40... Department of Forestry, a report on the outcomes of harvest modeling projects and annual harvest volumes for the Elliott, Clatsop, and Tillamook State Forests. Item 52, Department of Consumer and Business Services, a report on workers' compensation premium assessment changes for the calendar year 2006 as required by statute. Item 53, Department of Consumer and Business Services, a report on the agency's receipt of a federal appropriation to expand an e-permitting pilot project. Item 54, Construction Contractors Board, a report on adoption of a two-year license fee. Item 58, Department of Administrative Services, a report describing compensation plan changes as required by statute.
Your discussion. Any objection? The item is approved. Receipt of reports in block. Human Services sub. Submission of federal grants application in block. Human Services sub. Recognized Senator Winters.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board approve in block the following eight requests for approval to apply for federal grants as described in the Legislative Fiscal Office's analysis. Item number 16, Department of Human Services, retroactive approval of a federal grant application to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services in the amount of $150,000 for electronic submission of the substance abuse treatment services data. Item number 19, Department of Human Services, retroactive approval of a federal grant application to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services in the amount of $150,000 for promoting a healthy weight in women. Item number 23, Department of Justice, retroactive approval of a federal cooperative agreement to the U.S. Department of Justice in the amount of $175,000 for a crime victims compliance project. Item number 24, Department of Justice, retroactive approval of a federal grant application to the U.S. Department of Justice in the amount of $450,000 for Internet Crimes Against Children's Task Force. Item number 34, Department of Corrections, approve a federal grant application to the U.S. Department of Justice in the amount of $450,000 for integration of supervised and non-supervised nonviolent offenders who are returning to the community. Item number 41, Parks and Recreation Department, retroactive approval of a federal grant application to the U.S. Department of Commerce in the amount of up to $3 million per project for the purchase of coastal and estuarine properties. Item number 50, Department of Transportation, approved federal grant application to the U.S. Federal Highway Administration for a National Scenic Byway Discretionary Grant. And item number 60, Department of Administrative Services, approve a federal grant application to the U.S. Department of Education in the amount of $150,000 for a National Institute on Disability and Rehabilitation Development Grant. The subcommittee recommendation is made with the understanding that if the funds are awarded, the agency shall return to the Emergency Board or the Legislative Assembly for approval of any necessary funds or federal and other funds expenditure limitation and position authority.
Thank you, Senator Williams. Discussion of the submission of federal grants application in Blanc as set out by Senator Winters. Objection? Item is approved. Number one, before I begin, Teresa McHugh is with us now in a new capacity, the deputy of the LFO. And I want to welcome you to your first e-board in that capacity. We're happy you're here. We're honored you're here. Excited you're here. Anybody else want to say anything?
Welcome on board.
Thank welcome.
She's one of the best.
Ken, welcome to you. Sort of, you're going up.
Thank you.
My Mr. Chair, I'm also glad that you're here. And I've already welcomed.
It's the consensus of the committee, Mr. Chair, that the LFO staff table has never looked better.
Mm-hmm. Careful, Senator.
Yeah, that's good. Oh, boy. Okay. I tried. Number one, Secretary of State, Federal Government Service, Representative Boone, please.
Okay. This one is mine. The General Government Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board increase the federal funds expenditure limitation by $2,579,576 and extend seven limited duration positions, 4.38 FTE, to continue implementation of the Help America Vote requirements, Act requirements. The Help America Vote Act, HAVA, of 2002 was enacted by Congress to reform the nation's voting process. The Act mandates improved voting systems, including a centralized voter registration system and improved voter access. The Act also provides federal funding to develop and implement the improvements. Revised current biennium expenditure projections for HAVA exceed the adopted budget by approximately $4.1 million. The revised projections include the extension of seven limited duration positions for 15 months to continue implementation and provide ongoing support for the Oregon Central Voter Registration, OCVR, system and other HAVA initiatives, replacement of county vote tally equipment, completion of the OCVR Social Security validation process, and a rewrite of the election business system. The recommended increase does not include the elections business system rewrite. The agency expects to return to the Emergency Board in April, pending approval of the Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology, to request a federal fund expenditure limitation increase for this project. The elections funds has a sufficient cash balance to fund the increase, and no additional matching funds are required to complete the HAVA mandate. The General Government Subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you, Representative Boone. Questions? Discussion? Objections? Item approved. Number two, Department of Education, Education Sub. Senator Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Education Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board acknowledge receipt of a report regarding progress on the pre-kindergarten through 16 Integrated Data Systems, KIDS Initiative. Allocate $1.5 million from the Special Purpose Appropriation Fund for this project and approve the establishment of one limited duration position, 0.71 FTE, with the understanding the Department of Administrative Services will unschedule $1.18 million of the allocation pending the presentation of further information by the Department of Ed to DAS and Legislative Fiscal Office on the professional services contract. The $1.5 million request would finance phase two of the KIDS initiative and will establish an integrated data system to allow student records to be transferred electronically between school districts. School districts now operate a number of different student information systems that are unable to communicate with one another. It takes up to 6 weeks sometimes to transfer student records when a student moves from one school district to another, much to the detriment of the student's education. The KIDS initiative will address this problem, will also improve the ability to compare student performance across various school districts. Phase two will focus on student data systems in the most populous school districts first. The department plans to submit a phase three funding request next session to further expand the integrated data systems capabilities statewide. Nonetheless, phase two is a freestanding request, would be available to school districts serving the majority of pre-K to 12 students, even if phase three is not approved. Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology reviewed the request and recommends its approval. The budget for the project includes $1.18 million to hire a consultant to develop the system. The Education Subcommittee recommends approval of the request with the understanding that BAS will unschedule funds designated for consultant services pending the presentation of the further information on the professional services contract to DAS and LFO. Your Education Subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you, Senator Schrader. Discussion? Objection? Item is approved. Item number Judicial Department Human Services Sub, Representative Hanna, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board increase the other funds expenditure limitation for the Oregon Judicial Department by $164,299 and establish two limited duration positions to support the department's participation in a domestic violence program grant received by Linn County. Linn County received grant funding for a two-year program to expedite domestic violence cases in the circuit court. The goal is that all domestic violence cases will be resolved within 45 days of arrest and arraignment to improve victim safety and hold the offender more quickly accountable. Linn County will provide the department with grant funds to hire the court staff to participate in the program. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you, Representative Hanna. Any discussion? Objections? The item is approved. Item number 8, Judicial Department Human Services Sub. Senator Gordley, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board increase the other funds expenditure limitation for the Judicial Department by $150,000 and establish one limited duration position, 0.71 FTE, to establish a driving under the influence of intoxicants treatment court in Clackamas County, and increase the federal funds expenditure limitation by $150,000 for the Department of Transportation for distribution of grant funds to the Judicial Department. The Oregon Department of Transportation received funds from the U.S. Department of Transportation for programs that reduce impaired driving. The Judicial Department applied for a grant from ODOT to establish a DUII treatment court in Clackamas County. The grant was approved by the Transportation Safety Board on December 15, 2005. The Clackamas County DUII court will operate like the program in Multnomah County Circuit Court, which has a proven record of reducing driving offenses. The program will address both driving behavior and substance addiction. The program has community partners that include the sheriff, district attorney, corrections director, indigent defense contractors, and human services agencies. The grant funds will support a DUII coordinator position. The department will also use existing resources to assign a judge and court employees to the program. The department may seek general fund support to continue the program in the 2007-09 biennium if additional grant funds are not available. The department will coordinate with community partners in making any funding requests. The Human Services Subcommittee, Mr. President, recommends approval.
Thank you, Senator Garland. Discussion? Objections? The item is approved. Item number 9, Judicial Department Human Services Sub. Senator Gordley, please.
Thank you again. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board increase the federal funds expenditure limitation by $198,254 and establish two limited duration positions, 1.42 FTE, to extend U.S. Department of Justice, Office of Justice Program, Bureau of Justice Assistance grant funds to enhance the Multnomah County Circuit Court driving under the influence of intoxicants intensive supervision program treatment court. The 2005 legislature authorized the Judicial Department to apply for a grant to enhance the Multnomah County Circuit Court program, which is known as DISP. The application was approved in mid-October 2005. The program has been in operation since 1996 and has been the subject of a five-year study by the National Institute of Health. The study has documented the effectiveness of DISP in reducing driving offenses. The program has 210 new participants a year. It is supported with the general fund and has 3.25 full-time equivalent positions. The grant will enable the department to add 80 new participants a year. The Oregon Justice Department may seek general fund support for the expanded program in the 2007-09 biennium if additional grant funds are not available. The Oregon Justice Department will coordinate with community partners in making any funding requests. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you, Senator Gorley. Discussion? Is there any objection? The item is approved. Item number 10, Department of Higher Education, Education Subcommittee, Senator Gavlin.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Education Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board acknowledge receipt of a report on anticipated capital construction projects that are likely to require Article 11G bond proceeds, without recommendation on the capital construction projects contained therein, with the understanding that the department will report to the Emergency Board in September 2006 with additional information on its capital construction request and on the criteria it used to prioritize capital construction projects. In recent sessions, the legislature has authorized gift and other university revenues to be used as the constitutionally mandated match for Article 11G bonds. This is done for specific projects on a case-by-case basis. Article 11G bonds facilitate campus fundraising efforts because donations are... I'm just reading what's here. So donations are be matched on a dollar-for-dollar basis, effectively doubling the impact of a donation for a capital project. The state, though, must pay debt service on these bonds from the general fund. The Oregon University System campuses sometimes solicit contributions for capital projects that will need Article 11G bonds before the bonds are approved by the legislature. Last session, the Joint Committee on Ways and Means approved a budget note that directs the department to obtain Article 11G bond authority from the legislature before accepting contributions that would be used as an Article 11G bond match. This will allow the legislature and the governor to prioritize and establish bond finance levels for higher education and capital construction without risking situations where donors would only learn after committing funds for a project that no state bond match will be forthcoming. It will also provide clarity to both campuses and the donors of when state bonds will be available to match gifts and when they will not. The budget note directive became operative beginning with the 2009-2011 biennium. For 2007-2009, the department was required to report on anticipated capital projects that are likely to require Article 11G bonds. The report identifies 20 capital construction projects for the 2007-2009 biennium that proposed using Article 11G bonds to match gifts or other university revenues. State-paid debt on all these projects would total $370.8 million, which would represent a large increase from historic levels and would more than double the amount of general and lottery funds required to pay Oregon University System debt service. The Education Subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of the report with instruction to the department to return to the Emergency Board this September with a report on the status of capital construction requests and on criteria used to prioritize capital construction projects.
by way of editorial comments.
You're giving editorial comments?
Yes, I am.
You don't do editorial comments until... Can you do editorial...
Extemporaneous comments, then, since we'll...
Do I do it
on a forensic basis.
Do I allow
it? Extemporaneous forensics in this context.
I just want to know. Does he have to wait till I say discussion, or does he get to do that now?
Mr. Chair, he, as the carrier of this item, he has the right to make a comment.
Okay, then do the thing you're going to do, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The item in here relative to $370.8 million in potential projects. At this particular stage, the Oregon University System has not gone through its normal sifting process, which we anticipate that they will do by September through both the Board of Higher Education and actually through commentary by the Governor's Office and ultimately decisions by the Governor's Office. And we fully anticipate, as in past bienniums, not all of these projects will be forwarded for approval or for funding.
Thank you, Senator Devlin. It's the discussion.
Yes, sir.
Senator Strader, please.
We had a very interesting discussion in the subcommittee on this. I think it is important to note that last session, given our budget problems and constraints, we funded all of five or six buildings. There's a list of almost 100 buildings on this list. I think it's important for members to realize that there's no chance that we're going to be able to do anything close to that over the next three biennia. And the university system, as the carrier said, will hopefully pare this list down substantially, and we'll have an opportunity in September, along with the governor's office and everyone else, to review those that are coming in, make sure donors get the respect they deserve for contributing to our university system and are not under any misimpression about whether or not they're likely to get the Article 11G bond match. Debt service comes out of programs, and I think this group here needs to be leaders with the rest of the assembly and making sure the rest of the assembly understands that. And there's a zero-sum equation.
Thank you, Senator Strader. Further discussion?
To close,
Senator Devlin, please.
Mr. Co-Chair, I will spare the committee our lengthy discussion yesterday in subcommittee, but just to let you know that we had a very lengthy discussion, and I think it went on the point of point-counterpoint between Senator Schrader and I. I'll leave it at that.
How kind of
you. Is there further? Any further discussion? Are there objections?
And who were you?
Item is approved. Item number 11, Department of Higher Education, Education Sub. Senator, Representative Morgan, please.
The Education Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board establish a $10 million Other Funds Capital Construction Article 11F1 Bonds Expenditure Limitation and a $1,200,000 Other Funds Capital Construction Other Revenues, including Federal Funds Expenditure Limitation, for the construction of Phase 1 of the Oregon Institute of Technology Center for Health Professions Facility, with the understanding that the State Board of Higher Education intends to limit tuition rate differentials to the minimum needed to self-finance the cost of expanding OIT health profession program enrollments. The department requests permission to spend $11.2 million to construct Phase 1 of the Center for Health Professions facility on the Oregon Institute of Technology campus in Klamath Falls. Phase 1 would consist of a new 42,000-square-foot building that would house laboratories, classrooms, and faculty offices for a number of OIT's academic health profession training programs. The new building would allow OIT to expand enrollments in these programs, which currently operate at capacity, by an additional 420 students. The project will help OIT address the shortage of healthcare professionals in Oregon. This shortage is expected to worsen as the state's population ages and many current healthcare workers retire. OIT has had to turn away approximately 200 to 300 qualified applicants from these programs each year because of its limited capacity to serve them. OIT will self-finance all costs associated with expanding the program enrollments, including the debt service on the Article 11 F1 bonds, from tuition and resource fee revenues. Revenues will be generated by both increasing enrollment and by instituting a tuition rate differential or surcharge on students in the health profession programs. Because of a miscalculation, the tuition rate differentials approved by the State Board of Higher Education were higher than needed to finance the program expansions. The subcommittee therefore recommends approving the request with the understanding that tuition increases be kept to the minimum necessary to finance the expansion. The Education Subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you, Representative Morgan. Discussion. Object. Senator Schroeder, please.
Yes, I'm sorry, Mr. President. This is a very good project. I mean, it's a very exciting thing that's going to take care, hopefully, of some of the big problems we have in our workforce with regard to healthcare professionals. However, I'm going to be a no on this. And the reason for that is the precedent that is going to be potentially set by having tuition increases fund buildings, fund a specific building more particularly. We had a good discussion in committee. Certainly other universities have, when they come in for their tuition increases, use that in general to pay for both operations and to some extent some of the debt service on their buildings. This is the first time we've had university come in and say, hey, you know, we want the students to pay the cost of building this building. I think one could make a good case that this is an exceptional circumstance, and I hope that's the rationale for why we would be approving this today. But I think the precedent it sets is disconcerting. This project, while, again, well-intentioned, has had a number of problems in terms of how it was going to be financed. Matter of fact, up until this past week, our own legislative fiscal analyst found some errors in their calculations that were fairly substantial. So I think it's a good project. Bears, I think, this committee's serious consideration, but I would be very cautious about any precedents it might be setting for the future, and we should be thinking about that. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Schroeder. Further discussion? Objections?
I'm a no.
Senator Schroeder is a no. Senator Carter is a no. Item is approved. Item number 12, Department of Higher Education, Education Subcommittee, Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Education Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board establish a new Other Funds Capital Construction Article 11F1 Bonds Expenditure Limitation and transfer $525,000 of Other Capital Construction Article 11F1 Bonds Expenditure Limitation from the Expenditure Limitation established for Portland State University Retail Development various locations to newly establish Expenditure Limitation and establish a $750,000 other funds capital construction, other revenues, including federal funds expenditure limitation for the purchase and renovation of the, we will call it K-House, at Portland State University. The department requests permission to purchase the K-House, a three-story office building located on a 7,500-square-foot lot at Portland State University campus and surrounded by PSU properties. The property is currently owned by Portland Campus Christian Ministries from Portland State University, would like to acquire the site and use approximately two-thirds of it for classrooms and academic offices. The university would rent the remaining one-third of the building to current occupants, which include a restaurant, Portland Campus Christian Ministries, and the Muslim Education Trust. The department would purchase the property for $1,150,000 and spend an additional $125,000 for renovations. Costs would be financed by a combination of $750,000 of gift funds earmarked for the project and $525,000 of Article 11F1 bond proceeds. Rental income from the tenants would cover the debt service cost of the bonds plus a portion of the building's operating costs. The remaining operating costs would be financed from the university's education and general program revenues, primarily general fund and tuition income. The facility is located on a site surrounded by PSU property and would help the university address its need for additional academic space. Your education subcommittee recommends approval of the request.
Thank you, Senator Devlin. Discussion? Is there objection? The item is approved. Item number 13, Department of Higher Education, Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development, Department of Education, Education Sub. Senator Schroeder, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is the second of a similar item we discussed before. The Education Subcommittee recommends Emergency Board allocate $300,000 to Department of Ed, $664,400 to Department of Community Colleges Workforce Development, and $2,081,250 to Department of Higher Ed from the respective special purpose appropriations already made to the Emergency Board for these departments for the integrated data systems and approve the establishment of 8 limited duration positions, 4.52 FTE, for the Department of Higher Ed for developing the integrated data transfer system. This is with the understanding that Department Administrative Services will unschedule the allocated funds and position authority increases pending approval by the Joint Legislative Audit Committee for performance measures for the integrated data transfer system, and will continue to unschedule $400,000 of the allocation to the Department of Higher Ed, pending a report by the departments to DAS and LFO with additional details on the proposed budget for performance feedback. The integrated data transfer system will improve student data transmission, allow the Oregon University System campuses and community colleges to receive student data electronically from the high schools and from each other. The intent of this system is to improve student academic performance, access to higher education, and successful program completion. Electronic data transfer will support academic advising and generate information that high schools and colleges can use to make their programs more successful. It will also reduce unnecessary course duplication for students who attend multiple post-secondary institutions. Specific performance measures, like time to graduation, percentage of students graduating, others will be presented to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee for review and approval. The Education Subcommittee recommends approval of the request with the understanding that the Department of Administrative Services will unschedule the funds pending approval by the Joint Legislative Audit Committee of performance measures. This conforms to a budget note that requires JLAC approval of the measures. Additionally, $400,000 is unscheduled, as stated, until the three departments provide additional detail on the budget for performance feedback to DAS and LFO. Your Education Subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you, Senator Strader. Is the discussion? Objection? Item number 14, Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development, Education Subcommittee. Senator Morris, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Education Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board increase the other funds expenditure limitation established for the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development by $199,999 for overseeing community college capital construction projects funded with Article 11G bond proceeds. The legislatively approved budget includes $1 of spending authority for the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development to oversee and monitor the seven community colleges capital construction projects funded with Article 11G bonds. The department was directed to return to the Emergency Board for additional spending authority after determining the cost of the oversight program. The department is requesting authority to spend $200,000 other funds this biennium on project oversight and would contract with a consultant to provide the monitoring and oversight services. CCWD and the Department of Administrative Services have already selected a consultant for this purpose through a request for proposals process. The requested expenditure limitation increase would accommodate payment of up to $190,000 to the consultant and up to $10,000 for associated costs of the Department of Administrative Services and the Department of Justice. The funds for the program will be provided by community college districts with active Article 11G bond-financed projects. The department's oversight role is to assure that state bond funds are spent to successfully complete the capital projects and that the facilities are used for purposes consistent with the bond finance. Some of the contractor's responsibilities will include a general review of the individual project designs, estimating costs, and preparing reports and procedure manuals. Your Education Subcommittee recommends approval of the request.
Thank you, Senator Mullins. Is there any discussion? Is there any objections? Item number 15, the Office of Private Health Partnerships, Human Services Subcommittee. Senator Winters, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board acknowledge receipt of a report concerning the Family Health Insurance Assistance Program, better known as FEOP, maintenance of effort requirement, and increase the other funds expenditure limitation by $5,256,774 to accommodate additional FEOP expenditures. The budget report for the Insurance Pool Governing Board, now the Office of Private Health Partnerships, directed the agency to report on negotiations with the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, concerning maintenance of effort requirements for FEOP. In addition, the budget established a $4 million special purpose appropriation that could be dispersed to either the Office of Private Health Partnerships or to the Department of Human Services, depending upon the progress and outcomes of those negotiations. At its October meeting, the Emergency Board allocated $2.9 million of the appropriation to the FEOP program. The LFO recommendation to do this inadvertently omitted the other funds expenditure limitation necessary to allow the agency to spend $5.3 million of federal funds that can be used to match the $2.9 million general fund allocation. The Office of Private Health Partnerships reports that CMS has not yet responded to Oregon's request to meet a modest portion of the FEOP maintenance of effort requirement with Children's Health Insurance Program expenditures. The report indicated that if CMS does approve the request, that the first preference for use of the $1.1 million funds remain in the special purpose appropriation would be in the CHIP to increase eligibility from 6 months to 12 months. If CMS does not approve the request, the $1.1 million could be allocated to the FEOP within the Office of Private Health Partnerships. Your Human Services Subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you, Senator Winters. Is the discussion, please?
Mm-hmm.
Any objections? Item is approved. Item number 17, Department of Human Services. Human Services Subcommittee, Representative Richardson, please.
The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board acknowledge the receipt of a report on the Oregon State Hospital, establish a general fund capital construction appropriation, and allocate $2,103,716 from the emergency fund to the newly established appropriation, and allocate $7,166,123 from the emergency fund, increase the federal funds expenditure limitation by $2,999,210, and establish a one limited duration position, which is a 0.50 FTE, and 34 permanent positions, 17.68 FTEs, to improve conditions at the Oregon State Hospital, and direct DHS to provide an update on the Oregon State Hospital lawsuit, the conditions within the forensic wards, and the progress in hiring additional clinical staff. Last October, the Emergency Board heard a report about the 100 Oregon State Hospital patients who currently reside in Building 41, which is part of the Oregon State Hospital J building complex. The report indicated that DHS was concerned about the safety of those patients given seismic risks and believe that Building 41 should be closed. To partially replace the lost Oregon State Hospital bed capacity, the Department of Human Services proposed that one floor of the Oregon State Hospital Portland facility, which is owned by the Legacy Hospital Systems, be renovated to accommodate more patients, or at least some of those patients. The Emergency Board directed DHS to return in January with an analysis of the proposed renovation project, timeline for placing all Building 41 patients in safer quarters, and a discussion of how the Oregon State Hospital Portland renovation is consistent with the master plan. Since October, DHS hired an architect to provide a cost estimate of the Oregon State Hospital Portland renovation. And in addition, the Oregon Advocacy Center has filed a lawsuit on behalf of state hospital forensic patients against the state, alleging that the staff-to-patient ratio in the forensic wards at OASH is inadequate and violates professional and constitutional standards. The subcommittee discussed these matters extensively. Several members, including myself, have concerns about the Portland renovation project and believe that further analysis justifying this alternative should have been provided. Others point out that the urgent need to move 100 patients out of Building 41 today is a result of years of benign neglect, and that planning might have allowed Oregon to avoid this costly option. We also discussed the lawsuit and believe that the actions proposed by DHS to increase the staff to patient ratios are reasonable and will result in an early settlement of that lawsuit. Your Human Services Subcommittee recommends approval with the understanding that the Department of Administrative Services will unschedule $374,000 of the estimated construction costs. These funds can be rescheduled if needed for the construction project.
Thank you, Representative Richardson. Mr. Schnuck, for direction from you as chair of the subcommittee, do you wish to have the attorney for the Oregon State Advocacy Center and Mr. June to come up now, or do you want to have discussion first? How would you want me to proceed?
I think it would be appropriate to have him come up now just to clarify.
Would Mr. June Depp please come forward? He is the attorney for the Oregon Advocacy Center. There has also been a lawsuit filed looked at this issue, and the subcommittee I was watching did discuss this issue as well as the request to have the attorney come forward at this time. So, obviously, there's discussion.
I'd like to, maybe I could just lead in.
Please do.
Mr. Jim Depp, it's our understanding that with the action that would be taken today that will work toward moving the patients out of the Building 41 complex as well as improving or approving 34 permanent positions to help the patient to staff ratio, that this would be a justification for the advocacy center to settle or to cease prosecution of the lawsuit. Would you mind just telling us what the position is of the advocacy center?
Chair Minnison Courtney, Representative Richardson, that's correct. The action you take today will allow us to move towards concluding a settlement agreement, which will result in the dismissal of the case. And so I'd like to thank the committee for considering this recommendation, because it can move us towards helping the patients and also resolving the lawsuit.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Crump, sir.
Thank you. I intend to vote no on this request for the following reasons. I do appreciate his concerns, and that this is the right thing to do in terms of improving conditions for the state hospital. I absolutely agree with that. The reason I'm voting no is really having to do with the rewarding that we are to DHS in another area of this request, and that is the renovation of the hospital floor, which I'm glad to see that they'd finally decide to use it after 10 years of paying rent on it and it being virtually vacant. I appreciate Dr. Goldberg's direction in trying to get a handle on the issues that I think we're all very concerned about with DHS. I guess I just view this as partially rewarding bad behavior. I think that's not a good thing for us to do. And so while I agree we have to improve the conditions at the hospital, I'm going to vote no on this for the aforementioned reasons. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Crump. Okay, Senator Schrader, did you wish to speak? I thought you
Well, yeah, just in general, I think it's important to move forward on this item for the conditions that the chair of the committee has mentioned. I would hope that to the next legislative assembly, though, that we'd be able to bring forth performance outcomes as a result of this, the investment we're making, increasing patient safety, staff safety, quite frankly, and hope that the next Ways and Means Committee will have a chance to review that and see that it's a very good investment in our system and our mental health system. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Barker, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to thank Representative Richardson for the work he did, background work on this, and brought up some really good points yesterday. I'm going to support this today, and I appreciate the lawsuit. I don't know if that spurred this, but the committee, subcommittee, made it quite clear that the real concern was for the safety of the patients and the people who work there, and that's what we need to take care of and get it done. So I'm going to support this.
Thank you, Senator Barker. Senator Cordley, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to take advantage of Mr. Jundep's presence this morning. Thank you for being here, and ask, do you have further advice, guidance, direction for this body as we move forward?
Chairs Minnison Courtney, Senator Gordley, my feeling is that the action you'll take today will bring us up to a constitutional minimum at the hospital within a reasonable amount of time, but it will not create a good facility. That's a challenge that's still before us, and we're going to need to work it out over the next few years, and that will include a plan to replace the hospital ultimately.
And if I may follow up, your involvement, please, if you could describe it in helping to develop the master plan, your involvement or your organization's involvement.
Senator Gordley, our organization has been involved from step one in terms of working with DHS in the development of a new plan, and we'll continue to do that.
Can you comment on how that process is moving forward from your perspective, your assessment?
Senator Gordley, I think given how long things take in government, I think the process is moving along at a reasonable pace. There'll be a new report coming out shortly, and I believe that will be presented back to you for consideration. I mean, it's very important to keep the momentum rolling at that point, because despite the actions that you take today, we'll still have 100 patients in a hospital building that is at risk of falling down. Staff will be working there, and we'll still have some serious challenges in terms of having an old facility that's very costly to operate and very costly to staff. And the sooner that we can resolve that, I think that not only will patients get better care, but we'll see a better use of taxpayers' dollars in terms of providing treatment to the people who need it.
Final question. Do you have any additional concerns that we should be aware of now with regard to the master plan and its implementation down the road? Any additional concerns?
Senator Gordley, my main concern at this point is just that the process keep moving. I know that things can become stalled and that there can be a perception that a crisis has moved past us and we don't have to pay attention to it anymore. What I'm suggesting is that that this problem is going to continue to be very real and will not be resolved until we're able to replace the hospital.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Gordon. Representative Hanna, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'm completely convinced that this option immediately helps with patient safety, with staff safety, and those issues. And for that, I look to move this forward. I am not completely convinced that the option of the remodel of this facility is the very best thing to do in terms of the long-term plan for the state of Oregon in dealing with these patients. I'm going to vote yes for this today because I think we have to move forward. But I would hope the department would not take a yes on this and say it is the only option. I believe there are other options out there that not only could be completed in a timeline equal to or sooner than this remodel. I believe there's options out there that would allow us to move more patients more quickly. And I would hope that though we move forward with this, that we might have further discussion of those possibilities that, you know, we're putting money into a facility that by the time it's finished, we've got 8 years left in the building, and I'm just not convinced that's putting the best foot forward.
Thank you, Representative Hanna. Senator Winters, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to, I'm supporting the action, and just wanted to say that this is short term. I have to remind individuals there's still a lot left that needs to be done, and so I don't want us to think that the action that we take today has solved the problem out at the state hospital because it's only one step, and I thank you for making that clear for us. And there's one piece that no one has talked about. We've talked about patient safety and we've talked about staff safety, but also we have a responsibility to protect this community. And you've got a building that's falling down around out in, it happens to be in Senator Courtney's in my district, and it's imperative that a part of our responsibility is to not only to protect the patients, but to protect the staff and to protect this community. And so for those reasons, I will be voting yes and looking forward to the master plan and how that will address some of the other issues that are out there and the other 100 that are there. It isn't that easy to find sites throughout the state. And I'm hoping that the master plan will give us some kind of a roadmap of where we go from here.
Thank you, Senator Winter. Representative Richardson, please.
Mr. Co-Chair, there's no question that this needs to go forward because of the primary reason is it's the only option that DHS has presented that will provide for immediate facilities to move 24 patients out of the Building 41. I was very disappointed that there weren't additional options presented. I am very supportive of the other aspects of this measure. I'm going to go ahead and vote no because I believe that the financial aspects of the remodel were not, it's too uncertain. As of a week ago, the cost for the 24 beds, which is down from 30, has gone from $1,936,000 to $2,103,000 in the last week. And these are just estimates. There's no certain amount. That's a cost of $86,000 per bed for a rented facility for 8 years. And I just feel like we should have handled it a different way. So hopefully DHS will come back in April with a better comparison and more alternatives so that we can make sure that 100 patients are out of this building as soon as possible and not merely be dealing with 24 through a remodel that's going to take probably a year and year to year and a half to accomplish.
Thank you, Representative Richenbeck. Representative Smith, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Mr. Rocco, can I have assurance that our legislative council and our attorney general have reviewed this understanding between the state and this gentleman who I'm meeting for the first time?
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, I am not aware if legislative council has looked at it. I believe this is something the attorney general has been dealing with.
So the state of Oregon, though, yes, is aware of this understanding?
I'm not certain, but we could try and find
out. I believe they are.
Yeah. Follow up.
They're using Boston.
So we have an understanding. Members of this committee, I fully admit I'm green on this issue and unaware of the details, but I just want to make sure that what my understanding is, what's being presented to us, is an understanding between the state and this gentleman. And I just want to make sure that, like any prudent entity, that there would be a review from our legal counsel to ensure that what we're doing is in the best interest of the state of Oregon.
I hear
who
Della.
Okay. Yes, please.
Mr. Chair, we're not aware of these negotiations going on. I believe Mr. Goldberg might have more information than we do on this.
The director, Mr. Goldberg, Dr. Goldberg, please come forward. And excuse me, Attorney, could you stay there, please, counsel?
Co-chairs Courtney and Minnis, Representative Smith. The department.
State your name. And
I'm sorry. Bruce Goldberg, Director of the Department of Human Services. Representative Smith, the department has been represented all along by legal counsel from the Department of Justice, and one of the assistant attorney generals that is representing us and is involved in the negotiations with Mr. Joondeff.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Gordley, please.
Thank you. For colleagues and to Representative Smith, in your notebook, if you have it with you, under tab 17, Representative Smith, under tab 17, on page 17-4 of the LFO report, there is a discussion of the Attorney General's role in this matter, and that information may help you gain a better understanding of where we are.
Okay. Senator Carr, do you wish to speak?
Mr. President, I'm sorry, Mr. Co-Chair, thank you very much. I hate to date myself so much, but I just couldn't sit here any longer. And even though some of you have just come into this process, I have to invite us as an institution. The legislature as an institution has been negligent in funding and supporting mental health issues in this state. It is not the department's fault that we're where we are today. It's the legislature who has failed in its obligation to take care of some of our most vulnerable citizens in this state, and then we sit here and indict the organization, this agency. It is not. All of us need to look at those who came before us and look at where we are today to know that we have been negligent in our obligation to fund mental health and to take care of the most vulnerable citizens in this state.
Co-chair, speaker, Minnis, please.
Thank you. I believe, Representative Senator Carter, that the executive branch probably has something to do with this as well. And it's been too easy to blame the legislature for where we find ourselves today. We've had executives that sit in the governor's office for many decades that has ignored this issue, that has disassembled Bamish Hospital when there was no community support, So this is not just a today thing. This has been going on. The legislature must partner with the executive branch in order to resolve this. I am pleased that we have made the progress we have made over the last few months that we've taken this issue up. There is concern over the increased cost in this project. And I think Representative Richardson's concerns are valid concerns. Because we started at $550 to $950, and then we went to $1.7 million and ended up at $2.1 million. I want to make it clear that that's it. I don't want the department to come back and say we have cost overruns. I want you to manage, I think, $86,000 a bed for 24 beds should be adequate. And I'm going to request that the department not come back, that you manage within those resources, and not come back and ask for money, more money for this project. I'm going to put that on the record. I'm going to, and hopefully that'll be adequate and you can do a good job. That's $86,000 per bed. That should be the job. That. I think patient safety is important. We want to make sure that those folks, you know, there was a request to try to slow this down a little bit, to look at other options, and the concern over the safety of the patients spurred us on to go ahead and approve this today. But I am going to ask that the agency not come back and ask for more money, that you manage within the amount that's being allocated today.
Thank you, Speaker Minnis. Further discussion? Objections? Representative Richardson?
And Representative Krupp.
Representative Krupp, vote no. The item 17 is approved. I would like the emergency board to stand at ease, please, for a moment. Board back into session. Thank my fellow legislators and members of the emergency board for approaching us for this brief, monthly brief. Standing at ease, I now will go to item 18, Department of Human Services, Human Services Sub. Recognize Senator Winters, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board acknowledge receipt of a report on implementing the Medicare Part D prescription drug benefit. Various members of the 2005 Legislative Assembly asked that the Department of Human Services report to the Emergency Board on a regular basis about implementing the Medicare Modernization Act. The most important provision of the Medicaid Modernization Act is the prescription drug benefit that it adds to the Medicare program, which began on January 1, 2006. DHS delivered its first report at the last Emergency Board meeting in October 2005. At that time, DHS indicated that it had met all federal requirements and deadlines related to the enrollment of dual-eligible clients, people eligible for both Medicare and Medicaid, into the Medicare Part D benefit. 54,000 dual-eligible clients were transferred from the Medicaid prescription drug program to the Medicare drug benefit. DHS reports that nearly 23,000 of them were enrolled into Medicare Advantage plans. The vast majority of these clients made the transition smoothly. The remaining 31,000 dual-eligible clients were automatically enrolled randomly into other Medicare prescription drug plans. After they were auto-enrolled, about 10,000 changed plans between November 15, 2005 and December 31, 2005. This last group is experiencing the most significant problems. Clients, for example, are being turned away without their medications because pharmacies are unable to verify their plan enrollment at all, or because their low-income status cannot be verified, and they are being charged full Medicare Part D cost-sharing. The subcommittee learned that the governor has authorized an emergency payment plan to ensure that dual-eligible persons will receive the drugs they need to sustain their lives. About 25 other states have implemented similar plans. DHS is hopeful but cannot guarantee that the state will receive reimbursement from the Medicare plans or perhaps the federal government once eligibility and low-income status can be verified. The governor met with U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Secretary Michael Levitt yesterday to discuss the situation. DHS will continue to report on this important issue. Your subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of the department's report.
Thank you, Senator Winters. Is there a discussion on this? Is there objection? This item is approved. Item number 20, Department of Human Services. The Human Services Sub-Recognized Representative Richardson, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board defer action on the Department of Human Services 2005 through 07 biennium rebalance plan with direction and not approve the transfer of general fund appropriations for the 2003 through 2005 biennium. The Department of Human Services projects it will need an additional $168 million general fund to balance its 2005 through 07 budget. The projected shortfalls reflects program caseloads and costs per case that are higher than in the legislative adopted budget, the current biennium impact of revenue and cost allocation adjustments approved by the Emergency Board in the October 2005 for the DHS 2003 through 05 budget closeout plan, a reduction in the federal match, this is the Medicaid match rate, for the last 9 months of the biennium, and agency management actions and administrative savings of $12.6 million. The department presented a list of actions it will take to help address the fiscal forecasting and budget management issues highlighted by the projected shortfall. A complete solution to the budget shortfall, however, is beyond the executive branch and the emergency board's authority and financial resources and has not yet been developed. The subcommittee thus recommends the emergency board defer action with direction to DHS as follows. Implement the agency's identified management actions to save $8.6 million of general fund and achieve administrative services savings toward, which would total $4 million of general fund. Manage the vocational rehabilitation services program within current budget. Report to the Emergency Board in April 2006 on the status of the state's maintenance of effort for federal temporary assistance to needy families, child care development block grant, and vocational rehabilitation funds. Continue work to assess what expenses of home care workers' training fund could be matched with federal Medicaid revenue. Return to the Emergency Board in April 2006 with an updated 2005 through 07 rebalance plan. And also the subcommittee passed a recommendation that we defer the proposed change in reimbursement for outpatient fee-for-service hospital services until an overall solution to the DHS budget shortfall can be developed. Deferring the actions will allow for updated caseload forecasts and cost estimates, revise the revenue projections, and development of a comprehensive plan to deal with the projected general fund need. And so this is what was proposed as a result of yesterday's hearings, although we would want to amend this and no longer propose that we defer the proposed change in reimbursement for outpatient fee-for-service hospital services until an overall solution to the DHS budget shortfall can be developed, but go ahead and allow that adjustment to take place.
Okay, it's the discussion. Representative Richardson, what do you have? You have made now. You have entered an official recommendation. Now, have you?
Yes, I'm proposing that we amend.
You're moving.
I'm moving that we amend the recommendation in one way, and that is that we not defer the proposed change in reimbursement for outpatient fee for service hospital services.
Okay, that is the motion is now before the Fulton Board. Discussion.
Mr. President.
Yes, Senator Corey.
I'm sorry. There have been historically very few times that I can remember the 20-some-odd years I've been here that we have amended subcommittee actions in full committee, and this is precedent-setting for me, but the one thing that I do want to say, and that is that I think the legislature should follow through on its word, and credibility is important. And so I, as a member of this committee, want to be forthcoming in supporting what we had asked hospitals to do. For that reason, I will be supporting this motion.
Further discussion? Mr. Barber?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. She's Senator Carter sent it for me. Thank you.
Okay. Just before I vote, yes, as the person who's holding the gavel, This is an exceptional situation that this amendment is attempting to address. An agreement was entered into between the executive department and the legislature regarding reimbursements to the providers, i.e. the hospitals, and this motion is made to show that we're going to honor that agreement. That is the exceptional circumstances, and that's why we entertain this motion to make this amendment. Is there further discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Ben Westman, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will be voting no on this amendment. I certainly appreciate the will, need, and obligation to honor commitments of this or any legislature. And heaven knows, and I mean that reverently, the last people in Oregon that I want to be disparaging are hospitals. They've saved my life three times in the last 2 years. So my no vote certainly casts no disparagement on the noble institution of our hospitals. But I am concerned about, A, the precedence of this. I do not ever remember in my tenure in the legislature us amending an e-board. I may be incorrect in that, but memories being what they are, I do not have that recollection. And secondly, we speak to this agreement. And in the short time I've had to consider this and be informed of it, I do not have a full understanding of the agreement that we entered into. I know we need to honor that agreement. And quite frankly, I'm anticipating that this will pass. And I know that the hospitals do need to be reimbursed the amounts that are properly required. But as of this instant and this second, I am trying to recall with some specificity the agreement we entered into. I know this reimbursement adjustment was done administratively, not by the legislature. And that being in itself is not necessarily bad, but I would just like a little bit more confidence in what that agreement is. So with that, Mr. Chair, I will be respectfully voting no.
Thank you, Senator Westman. Is there further discussion, please? Senator Winters, please.
Yes, Mr. Co-Chair, just to clarify, because of the agreement, and as your chair for Human Services during the 03 session, and in my work with to continue the Oregon's health plan, several agreements were reached. One was that the hospital agreed to support tax in order so that we could then continue to provide health care for citizens in the state. And as a part of that, there was the agreement to increase the rate. The rate was below 80%, and it was to bring them up to 80%. And that's what we're talking about here. And maybe you weren't in those discussions when we came to that agreement with the hospitals. And it was they learned later that there was a misinterpretation and there was a correction that needed to be made with the agency, how they reimbursed this 80%, and that's why we're here today. So it was a part of an agreement, part of a reimbursement process, and I, like Senator Carter, hope that we honor in this body the agreement that we've made with our providers.
Good question. Representative Boone, please.
I'd like to say that it is my first e-board experience after this session, and I think that's what this is all about, is if we're going to be doing the right thing and to regain the public's confidence, we have the opportunity to do this, and it is the right thing to do, so I think that it's not an anomaly as such, and I don't believe it's precedent setting in that sense. I think we're just coming to the realization we have to do this to keep our word.
Further discussion.
One last point, Mr.
Senator Schrader, please.
On the rebalance in general, this is a critical issue to our state. I'm hopeful that the work plan that the department's been requested to bring forward will have the opportunity to be vetted by the legislature, key members of the legislature, and the body as a whole, so that we can get some idea about what we really can and can't do, because we cannot wait until next session to address this issue. We need to have a very thoughtful work plan before we decide to do anything. I think the recommendation here is the first step, to have Dr. Goldberg put all his thoughts and resources to advantage for our state, get the policymakers, which would theoretically be us, together and come up with a way that we can bipartisanly walk down a really thoughtful path about reining in costs, reining in problems, decide what we can and can't do. And I really hope that by April we'll have a pretty clear plan, and that then together we can work on something, get it done before the tsunami hits by waiting till next session.
Senator Gordley, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To our staff, Mr. Britton, with an eye toward our lay down the most complete record possible around the amendment, can you speak to, do you have additional information that would assist us in having the best possible understanding of the agreement and in our intent now with regard to that agreement as we go forward? Any additional information?
Mr. Co-Chair and Senator Gordley, I can't speak at all to the agreement. I was not a party to those negotiations whatsoever.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Yes. Representative Morgan, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just to further talk about what I think is a very important issue here, which is the rebalance. There have been, and it is encouraging that there have been significant discussions around the opportunity that this presents the agency and the legislature and the administrative side of state government to take a look at the business functioning within the department. And I think that those of us that have been grappling with this budget for a number of years have seen the scenario that we're in played out of a number of times in the past. The number's just bigger this time, that they're out of balance. And there clearly is a need to elevate the business and accounting part of this agency and put some information in place in such a way that it actually does serve this body in terms of being able to project budgets that will actually meet needs. And we need also the information to protect the people that receive these services so they aren't constantly wondering whether they're going to be receiving the services or not receiving the services because of these huge imbalances that come forward in these budgets. So I'm very heartened that the director is taking the discussions very seriously and that he's opened the discussions up to the legislature, to our fiscal staff, and to a number of other people that have an interest in what the information is, how it's presented, and the system that's put in place to come up with that. So I think we need to also look not only at the immediate problems that the rebalance presents us, but also look at some long-term solutions to the causes of that kind of stuff.
Thank you, Representative Morgan. Representative Scott, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. It's been said as to the involvement that Dr. Goldberg has, and all of the presentation has been made to us in the direction that we're heading, and I concur with Senator Schrader that I'm hopeful that we can get our arms around this and that we need to do it long before next session or the folks that are here for next session. And I think that that will occur and that we will make some some good strides, and there will be some difficult decisions forthcoming out of that. And to address this particular amendment that is before us, it's my understanding by folks that have much longer tenure here than I do that this is not precedent setting, that we have made these in past. Good representative to my left has indicated that she personally has done it once, and that so I think there is some precedence for that to occur. I also think that I am convinced, although not here, that it was part of the negotiated agreement back several years ago. Our partners stepped forward and helped us in a time of need, and that this is something that whether an error was made or whomever made that error, that we need to correct that, and so I'm pleased that we're taking that step to do it today.
Thank you, Representative Scott. Further discussion? Other objections? Senator Weston votes no. I need direction from the staff. Do we need to take further action on this matter? Okay. Item 20, as amended by the Emergency Board, is approved. Item 21, Department of Human Services, Human Services Sub-Representative Athlete.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. And to Representative Morgan's point about good information, item 21 is about collecting better information. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board acknowledge receipt of a report on other funds and federal funds and direct the Department of Human Services to present a report on possible technological improvements to its automated financial systems and the results of a state controller's assessment of DHS financial processes at the April meeting of the Emergency Board. The 2005 Legislative Assembly passed House Bill 5077, which implemented the Department of Human Services' Spring 2005 Rebalance Plan. Although the department's plan did not require additional general fund to finance net program costs, the plan did identify several other funds and federal fund revenue shortfalls. Some of them were the result of poor other funds and federal funds revenue tracking. As a result, the budget report for House Bill 5077 included a budget note requiring DHS to report on the procedures it uses to forecast, budget, and account for other funds and federal funds revenue. The DHS report outlines the difficulties its financial managers have encountered in adequately tracking other funds and federal funds revenue. It discusses the steps department staff have already taken to improve revenue tracking. Finally, the report explains how DHS will sustain its efforts to improve revenue tracking in the future. In particular, DHS discussed two strategies that should be helpful. The first involves investigating technological improvements that could improve agency fiscal systems. The second is the creation of the teams by the State Controller, John Radford, at the invitation of DHS Director Bruce Goldberg. These teams have begun to assess DHS financial processes to identify strengths and weaknesses and to make recommendations for improvement. The subcommittee recommends acknowledging the DHS report and directing the agency to update the Emergency Board in April on its work to improve its financial processes.
Thank you, Representative Hanna. Is there discussion?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Senator Schrader, please.
I would just point out to the committee and the audience's edification, this budget note was from last session prior to the shortfall we just discussed, which would indicate that there's an endemic problem that I think we alluded to that needs to be addressed. And I would hope that the Legislative Fiscal Office would be involved in helping the department get their hands around these things. I think that would engender a lot of faith on our part as a legislative body that we're really getting to some of the root causes. And I appreciate the department coming forward with some of these recommendations. Look forward to their report in April.
Thank you, Senator Schrader. Is there further discussion? Is there objection? Item number 21 is adopted. Let me ask this. Can I have, give me direction. The attorney, Robert C. Dundiff, who we've already heard from the Oregon Advocacy Center, and the Chief Trial Counsel, Department of Justice, Stephen Bichon, are here and wish to discuss the issues that we were discussing. On item number 17, we have approved that item and gone beyond it. What is the appropriate way to proceed given their request? And I believe there's an interest in individuals here at the Emergency Board to hear from them. How might I proceed, please?
Mr. Chair, I believe as Chair of the Committee, you have the authority to invite additional testimony on an item, even though it's been dealt with by the Board, if you so wish.
All right. I would like to do it at this time. So would Council Dunda please come forward and Council Bichon please come forward at this time. And this is involving the lawsuit filed relative to the Oregon State Hospital. It is item number 17. So I would like to, if you would, for a moment, to allow their testimony, and then we will move on with other parts of the agenda. So, gentlemen, however you wish to proceed, please do so. And members of the Emergency Board, however you wish to proceed in terms of your questions, please feel free to do so. So, councils, who wishes to go for it? Councils, I am. Yes.
Mr. Chair.
For the record,
I'm Bob Junda from the Oregon Advocacy Center, and I'm just going to make my statements brief so that Mr. Bouchon can address you. What I discussed earlier was our process in settling the case against the state hospital, and that through the course of our settlement negotiations, we came to an agreement about certain terms, and the only question in terms of our being able to complete the settlement was whether there would be sufficient funding for DHS to follow through and implement those. And by your action today, you would provide those funds. And the next step for us will be to call off all the what's called discovery, which is depositions and gathering of information. We'll be jointly calling off the court hearing, which is set for January 31st in federal court. And over the course of the next 2 weeks, we'll be working on creating a document, which will be the settlement agreement, in which the DHS will agree to use these funds to do what you just told them to do with it, and we will agree to dismiss the case. So I'll hand it over to Mr. Bouchard.
Mr. Chair, Madam Co-Chair, members of the board, my name for the record is Steve Bouchard, B-U-S-H-O-N-G. I'm Chief Trial Counsel of the Oregon Department of Justice. I have been negotiating this agreement with the Oregon Advocacy Center for about a year or so. I've been working on this process, and other lawyers in the Department of Justice have been involved in that process as well. We have reached, as Mr. Junef described, an agreement. There are further steps to be taken to implement that agreement. I don't anticipate any problems with those steps. There will be, as Mr. Junef described, calling off the discovery, canceling the hearing set for the end of this month, and we need to obviously create the settlement document itself, the agreement that would be subject to court approval. We have done this in the past in other instances working with the Oregon Advocacy Center. I don't anticipate any problems with any of those steps occurring, but they do need to occur. And there's always, in the theoretical world, the court could say no. But I don't think that will happen. The court will approve this deal, and we'll go forward.
Thank you, counsel. Questions? Yes. Representative Smith, please.
Thank you, Chair. Courtney, I appreciate the due diligence on behalf of leadership on this issue. Thank you very much. It sounds like the two of you have an agreement. It sounds like this is something that both of you theoretically can shake hands on. Please know that my vote was based upon this understanding that a handshake agreement has been made. And thank you very much for coming forward.
Thank you.
In fact, we can not only theoretically shake hands on it, we can literally shake hands on
it. Well, let me tell you, in Eastern Oregon, that's as good as your word and as good as a contract, so good.
Thank you, Representative Smith. Are there further questions for the attorneys that are now before us? Representative Scott, do you have a question? Counsel, thank you very much for your willingness to come here and add additional information on the record. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you, members of the board, for allowing us to add that after we had gone beyond the item. Appreciate that very much. We will now go to item 22, Department of Human Services, the Human Services Subcommittee. Senator Gordley, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board acknowledge receipt of a report on Phase 1 and Phase 2 of the Department of Human Services Staffing Study. The Department submitted a report on the staffing study that it began during the 2003-05 biennium. Phase 1 of the study looked at food stamps, Medicaid eligibility, and adult protective services staffing. The final Phase 1 report was done in July 2005. The department has prepared a plan to implement the Phase 1 recommendations and provided information on that plan and its work to date. Phase 2 of the study will cover temporary assistance to needy families, employment-related daycare, vocational rehabilitation, and long-term care case management staffing. Public Knowledge Incorporated, the contractor for the study, began the Phase 2 work in December. The Phase 2 study is expected to be complete by July 2006. The department will provide another report to the Emergency Board at its next meeting. The subcommittee recommends the Emergency Board acknowledge receipt of the report.
Thank you, Senator Gordley. Discussion?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Senator Schrader, please.
Sorry, Mr. President, but I think this is an important document. I would ask all the members to pay very close attention to this. I was pleased about a great many of the recommendations that came out in this report. It was more beneficial than I thought, given the way things were going. So I really would hope that and I know the chair of the Human Services Subcommittee will be paying very close attention to this and get maximum advantage, learn from this, and then hopefully we can again use this as a tool to get maximum resources where they really need to go in this budget-limited environment. So I think this is a great study and great example of the legislature looking at how it does business.
Thank you. For discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Cordley.
One thing I don't think we heard in our committee meeting is whether Public Knowledge Incorporated is an Oregon vendor, Oregon contractor. Do we know that?
Yeah.
It is. Okay. Thank you.
Further discussion? Objections? The item is approved. Item number 25, Department of Justice, Education Subcommittee. Senator Devlin, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Education Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board increase the other funds expenditure limitation by $217,862 and approve the establishment of one permanent full-time position, 0.83 FTE, for the Cooperative Disability Investigation Program. The Department of Justice is part of a cooperative effort with the Department of Human Services and the Federal Social Security Administration to prevent fraud and abuse in federal disability programs. The Department of Justice is responsible for investigating evidence of material facts to resolve and determine eligibility. The federal government has already approved the funding for a third investigator position for this program. It is expected that the recommended position will assist in eliminating the current backlog and keep pace with a growing workload. The estimated savings from this joint program in 2005 was $11.4 million in federal spending and $8.2 million in state spending. The subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you, Senator Devlin. Discussion? Objections? The item is approved. Item number 26, Department of Justice, Education Subcommittee, Representative Crump, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Education Subcommittee recommends the Emergency Board approve the reclassification of a position to a Chief Criminal Investigator and increase the other funds limitation by $12,168 to cover the costs related to this reclassification. The Department of Justice has found that it requires two Chief Criminal Investigator positions to manage and oversee the 40 investigators in the Criminal Justice Division. One of the positions will manage the 23 investigators and other staff in the division's three intelligence programs, while the other person, or the other position rather, will be responsible for the 17 investigators in the other programs of the division, which include financial fraud, tobacco tax compliance, and the Cooperative Disability Investigative Program. An existing assistant chief criminal investigator position will be reclassified using funding from the High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area, or HIDA, program. The agencies participating in the HIDA program are supportive of this action. The subcommittee recommends approval. And, Mr. Chairman, I might add that after, and I would encourage all members of the committee to take some time in the future and then visit the Intelligence Center and visit with the folks there that clearly have a lot of information they need to go through in regards to Homeland Security issues. I think this is a very appropriate move. We need to, I think, concentrate on the ability to understand what that information is and how it may be relevant to the safety of Oregonians. I'd like to see us in the future pay a little more attention to this particular area. With that, Mr. Chairman, I recommend the approval.
Thank you, Representative Krupp. Discussion? Objection? The item is approved. Item number 27, Department of Justice Education Sub. Senator Morris, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Education Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board allocate $75,666 from the Emergency Fund and establish one limited duration position equivalent to 0.46 FTE within the Department of Justice for the Oregon Address Confidentiality Program. The Department of Administrative Services is requested to unschedule 37,833 of the allocated funds pending better information on the actual cost of the program and potential other revenues contributed to the program. The 2005 legislature passed Senate Bill 850, which establishes the Address Confidentiality Program to provide a substitute address to victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking. Victims often relocate because of threats to their safety and wish to keep their new address confidential. Under this program, first-class registered and certified mail would be delivered to a substitute address maintained by the Department of Justice and then forwarded to the actual confidential address.
Yes.
The subcommittee encouraged the agency to examine the program's cost carefully as it is developed and continue to seek alternative funding. To that end, the subcommittee recommends that half of the expenditure limitation be unscheduled so DAS and the Department of Justice may continue to monitor costs. In addition, a limited duration position is recommended so that the 2007 legislature will have the opportunity to review this program as part of the 07-09 budget process. The subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you, Senator Morris. Discussion? Yes, Representative Barker, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I just want to say that this is really a good, I appreciate the work done on this. This, it's hard, how do you prove a negative, but this will save lives of especially domestic violence victims who are later stalked and either seriously assaulted or killed. And I, again, appreciate the work on this, and I think this is a great bill. A great bill.
Thank you, Representative Barker. For the, Senator Devlin, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chairman. I just did want to make a short statement, and that is I'll echo Representative Barker's comments. But I wanted to acknowledge both my former chief of staff and Sybil Hebb, who have spent hundreds of hours on this since the fall of 2004 to get this both through the legislature and through the budgeting process, and acknowledge both the support of the President and the Speaker, and actually both the co-chairs of Ways and Means, and the great work that the Department of Justice and numerous state agencies have done, many law enforcement entities, the district attorneys, even public defenders and defense attorneys, and virtually every domestic violence organization in the state, both public and nonprofit.
Thank you, Sir Devlin. For discussion? Yep. Excuse me, Barbara. Speaker Menace, please.
I would like to congratulate Ms. Hebb as well. I think she has dealt with this issue. It's clearly a passion for her, and today ought to be she deserves a lot of credit for this as well. Women that have nowhere to go, they can be found at their places of work. We've instituted unemployment benefits for them, so if they have to quit, they can do that with some surety. They'll have some resources. We did that in 99. We improved upon it this last session. And now this is another step in protecting those women that do find themselves in the position of harm's way because of a violent significant other. So congratulations, and we're happy with this moving forward today.
Thank you, Speaker. Minutes. Further discussion? Objections? The item is approved. Item number 28, the Military Department Education Sub. Senator Devlin, please.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chairman. The Education Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board increase 1995 federal funds capital construction expenditure limitation by $340,155 for the design of the Ontario Readiness Center. The 1995 legislature approved a capital construction expenditure limitation for design of the Ontario Readiness Center, and in 2005 extended the project funding until June 30, 2008. The 21,000 square foot project will be constructed with Treasure Valley Community College as a partner and possible local emergency management and police. The Oregon Military Department spent approximately half the original limitation on design, but shelved the project until recently. The department was notified that an additional $523,000 federal funds to complete the design have been approved. In order to ensure federal funds and are programmed in the federal budget for the project in 2008, design of the facility must be complete by June 1st, 2006. The department has $182,845 federal funds expenditure limitation remaining for the project, leaving a need for $340,155 in additional federal funds expenditure limitation. The Education Subcommittee recommends your approval.
Thank you, Senator Devlin. Is there further discussion? Objections? The item is approved. We go to item number 29, Military Department Education Sub. Senator Devlin, again, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Education Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board establish a federal funds capital construction expenditure limitation of $160,000 and establish another funds capital construction expenditure limitation of $120,000 for completion of security components of the Anderness and Redis Readiness Center. The legislature authorized the construction of the Anderness Readiness Center in 1995. In addition to the military department providing training for Army National Guard, the building houses core functions for managing emergencies. The $21 million building was occupied in December 2003 with all but the final security measures completed. Recently, the department learned that additional federal military construction funds and the critical facility grant funds were approved. The department believed that the security elements of the project would be completed by December 31, 2005, and legislative approved an extension of the expenditure limitation to that date. While some of the security components will be completed and expended before December 31, 2005, the agency will not be able to complete approximately $280,000 worth of projects. The department is requesting the establishment of $160,000 federal funds capital construction expenditure limitation and $120,000 other funds capital construction expenditure limitation to expend the remaining state Homeland Security grant funds at the Anderson Readiness Center. The Education Subcommittee recommends your approval.
Thank you, Senator Devlin. Discussion? Objections? The item is approved. We go to item number 30, Military Department Education Sub. Senator Devlin, once again.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Education Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board increase 2003 Other Funds Capital Construction Expenditure Limitation by $6,094,000 to add space for the Bureau of Land Management to the Lane County Armed Forces Reserve Center, Phase 2. The legislature approved the design and construction of the Lane County Armed Forces Reserve Center complex in 1993. Construction was authorized in 2003. This facility provides space for several governmental agencies, including the Naval Reserve, the Marine Corps Reserve, and the U.S. Forest Service. This past summer, the Bureau of Land Management contacted the military department expressing their desire to partner in the project. The department worked with the Bureau of Land Management to develop the scope of work and cost. The department requires an increase in the 2003 Other Funds Capital Construction Expenditure Limitation to include Bureau of Land Management in the project. Bureau of Land Management will pay the costs associated with their portion of the development in exchange for a 25-year no-cost lease with an option for one 25-year extension at market rates. Operation and maintenance costs would be paid by the Bureau of Land Management. The estimated cost for construction is $6,094,000. The Education Subcommittee recommends your approval.
Thank you, Senator Devlin. Discussion? Objections? Item is approved. Item number 31, Military Department, Education Sub, Senator Schrader, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Education Subcommittee recommends increase the board allocate for $26,929 from the emergency fund, increase the other funds expenditure limitation by $95,400, increase the federal funds expenditure limitation by $231,550 for the operation of the Oregon Youth Challenge Program. Oregon Youth Challenge Program provides an opportunity for at-risk high school students who have dropped out or failing or not attending school an opportunity for credit recovery, high school diploma, or GED. In addition, students participate in extensive service learning opportunities as an extension of the classroom, gaining life and work skills. 2005-07 legislatively adopted budget maintained the reduced operating model, but the legislature directed OMD to return to the emergency board if ADM rates were not sufficient to maintain the program. OMD, or Office of Military Department, has learned that the ADM rate for the 2005-06 academic year will be $62,065 less revenue than projected in the 05-07 budget. In addition to the reduction in ADM rates, unforeseen expenses have increased costs beyond available revenues to maintain academic accreditation, health, and safety of students and staff have been identified. This includes increased personnel costs for cost of living adjustments, benefits, overtime, shift differentials, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The National Guard Bureau provides a maximum of $3.4 million. In keeping with the National Guard Bureau's 60-40 funding split, the amount of state match required to match the National Guard Bureau maximum amount of $3.4 million is $2.2 million. Of that amount, $1.3 million is available from the other ADM resources, other funds of ADM resources, and $552,566 from general funds, totaling the $1.8 million. This leaves a deficit of $426,926 required to operate the program. The Education Subcommittee recommends your approval of allocating that money from the emergency fund, increasing the federal fund expenditure limitation by $95,400 and increasing the federal funds expenditure limitation by $231,550.
Thank you, Senator Schrader. Discussion? Senator Van Westland, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure Oregon recognizes how lucky we are not only to have the leadership of Mike Caldwell on this, but also the Youth Challenge program here in our state. Oregon Youth Challenge has been the number one Youth Challenge program in the country 2 out of the last 3 years. Am I speaking correctly?
2 out of the last 4 years.
It graduates, round numbers, 320, 340 kids a year, by far and away the majority of which, 70, 80, 90% get their GED or actually graduate ahead of schedule from their high schools and then go on to careers in either the military or civilian life. There's a 1, 3, and 5-year tracking system to look at these these students, and it's a superlatively high rate of performance for this given amount of time. I mean, this is just a program that we should all be proud of, and Oregon is very fortunate to have, and I appreciate this coming before the board. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator West. Discussion? Objections? The item is approved. Item number 32, Criminal Justice Commission, Education Subcommittee. Senator Frater, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Education Subcommittee recommends the Emergency Board allocate $2.5 million to the Criminal Justice Commission from the special purpose appropriation already made to the Emergency Board for a grant program to create or expand our drug courts. 2005 legislature passed a package of bills designed to address the problems due to the production, sale, and use of methamphetamine. One part of this package was a $2.5 million general fund special purpose appropriation for this grant program to create new drug courts or expand existing drug courts. Drug courts are special courts which take a more intense approach to the offender using a combination of hands-on supervision by the court, substance abuse treatment, mandatory drug testing, and sanctions to ensure the goals of reducing recidivism and substance abuse are met, and generally much more successful than traditional means. The Criminal Justice Commission has developed grant eligibility requirements, selection criteria, and preliminary performance measures. This information was presented to a joint meeting of the interim judiciary committees who recommended the allocation of these funds. The commission proposed to have grant applications due by early April and grant awards by the 1st of July. An additional $3 million in federal funds has also been identified to augment the $2.5 million in state funds. That $3.5 million is a one-time grant that will be distributed by the Criminal Justice Services Division of State Police. The subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you, Senator Schrader. Discussion? Objections? The item is approved. Item number 33, Oregon Youth Authority Education Subcommittee. Senator Morse, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Education Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board allocate $214,607 from the Emergency Fund, increase the federal fund's expenditure limitation by $7,439, and approve the establishment of two permanent positions, equivalent to 1.26 FTE, for the Oregon Youth Authority to implement recommendations of the Youth Safety and Abuse Prevention Committee. In October 2005, the Oregon Youth Authority asked the Emergency Board for funding to carry out the recommendations of the External Review Committee it convened after a former youth probation officer abused youth in OYA's custody while he was an employee of the agency. The Emergency Board approved funds for three areas, but deferred action on the internal and external complaint investigation offices with a request that the interim judiciary committees review the proposals. The Judiciary Committees met in December and have expressed support for establishing the Internal Complaint Investigation Office. OYA is to report to the Judiciary Committees on the Office's implementation and operations, as well as the Department of Justice's review of the personnel issues related to the Boyles case. OYA's request to the Emergency Board includes $195,275 general fund and $6,769 federal funds to fund an internal complaint investigation office with two staff positions and a toll-free phone line. It also includes $19,330 general fund and $670 federal funds to contract out pre-employment background investigations for new juvenile parole and probation officers. OYA is not asking to fund an external complaint investigation office at this time. Mr. Co-Chair, the subcommittee recommends approval of the request.
Thank you, Senator Morris. Discussion? Yes, Mr. Parker, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, this is certainly a step in the right direction, although I'm really concerned that just having one investigator and two staff for internal investigations for a department that big is way too small. Having experienced some work in internal investigations in the Portland Police Bureau, where there's some 900 officers, and we had six or eight people, and we were a year behind in investigations. So in order to have timely investigations, we need to keep a close eye on this and be sure that they have the resources they need to do that, to protect, again, the people who are incarcerated, as well as the staff, from false accusations. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Krupp, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just briefly, gave my tentative support to this yesterday in subcommittee, and I'll share that again with it today. I think it is the right direction that they're headed here. My concern is slightly different than Representative Barker's in that I would prefer to see an outside investigator outside of the potential internal influences of the department. I think that there's a culture, at least there has been in times past, within the agency that tends to try to not allow these issues to rise to the surface. And what I don't want to see is us establish an investigator's position here and then have the internal political pressures of the organization not allow them to do their job. And that does concern me. And so I'm going to certainly vote for this, but I think we should keep a close eye on this. Hopefully that culture that has created some of those issues within that agency will change. It's my hope that leadership has gotten the message about the leadership of the agency, and will do so.
Thank you, Representative Crump. Further discussion? Senator Devlin, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. One of the things I wanted to say about this is that if you're looking through the documents, you will find out that the recommendations, part of this, we approved the earlier portion of these needs in the earlier meeting in October. Then items were reviewed by the Judiciary Committees. They are the ones that recommended to go forward with the internal, but not to do the external at this time. I would remind people that this is the only state entity of this type that has people in custody. That does not have an internal investigations element within their organization, and it's probably high time that they do. But I do want to also speak in high confidence of the agency and realize that the Boyles case was simply not a case for the Oregon Youth Authority. It was a case of the Department of Human Services, and the current director has been very forthright in addressing this issue and doing everything that that my committee and other committees have asked him to do.
Chair Carr.
Mr. Chairman, I agree with Representative Koch. I was one of the people who did the reporting on Mr. Boyle, and it festered for a year inside the organization. And he is right on in terms of an external force being available there. And while we have great direction with the new executive director at this point, I still think that the issue of having an external force out there that gets beyond the politics of the organization is the way and by which we're going to deal with some of these issues.
Senator Schreier.
Hey, Mr. President. I've been convinced of the merits of this because my understanding was that this is one of the only law enforcement agency, if you will, that did not have a staff investigator. So I think just getting an investigator is going to be a huge plus. However, the main reason I'm voting for this is I've been assured by the department that they haven't closed the book on the supervision issues. Because I think a lot of this has to do with the culture of the environment, much like Senator Carter and Representative Krupp talked about. And your agency is only as good as the people that are running that agency or supervising his staff and employees. Pretty clear this was an egregious abuse. I think hopefully an exceptional case that will never be repeated. But I think you have to show the people in that organization that those that are in charge are responsible and accountable for their actions. So I look forward to the outcomes of their investigation of the supervisory issues.
Thank you, Administrator. Senator Winters, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. And I agree with Representative Krupp. I'm sure you figured that I would, as your former state ombudsman for Governor Attia, that internal investigation is fine. However, you still have the same inside of a culture because you've got the fox watching its own hen house. And the external actually brings in the unbiased and provides for a balance. It also does something else when you have the external. Staff often are not, they feel threatened sometimes of bringing issues and things forward inside of an organization where they don't feel that same kind of threat outside. I will support this, but I certainly hope, and I've had some discussion with the administrator, that we continue to pursue the external. Because if we're going to get transparency and if we're going to identify problems with the hope of having solutions, it's that external force helps us to keep that balance. So,
thank you, Senator Winters. Senator Devlin?
Just a very quick comment. One thing I did want to note for the record, just so it's understood, the department's original recommendation was to have both internal and external. And it is our bodies, our committees, our judiciary committees, that actually recommended at this time to go ahead with the internal. The department before had requested both the internal and external.
Okay, Senator Devlin, thank you. And Senator Porter, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Co-Chair. As
chair of the Ways and Means Public Safety Committee, I want to thank Senator Devlin for bringing forward the point about the recommendation that came forward from the agency. It was for both processes, and that's what the subcommittee supported. And frankly, I think it's a mistake to go forward. Well, I will vote for this one step, understanding that we need the other step, keeping in mind that the problems surrounding the Boyles case that Senator Carter has pointed out festered in this agency for a decade or more, a decade of abuse. I think that our committee spent a lot of time on this issue and came to a full understanding with Senator Winner's help of understanding the value of having an external review. So I would encourage us to bring the issue back at some point soon and look at how we make that happen for this agency. Thank you, Senator Gordon.
For the discussion, objections? The item is approved. Item number 35, Department of State Police, General Government Sub, Representative Smith, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The General Government Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board allocate $40,790 from the Emergency Fund, approve the establishment of one permanent part-time position, and approve the submission of a federal grant application to the U.S. Department of Justice and increase the federal funds expenditure limitation by $58,000 for developing and maintaining a website for the Oregon State Sex Offender Registry. The 2005 legislature passed House Bill 3486 requiring the state police to create a website and post information regarding predatory sex offenders and sexually violent dangerous sex offenders. This website is to be operational by July 1st of 06. The information is to include the sex offender's name, address, conditions or restrictions of supervision, current photograph, and information relating to the crime. Currently, the state police maintains information on over 17,000 sex offenders, and the agency estimates information on approximately 600 of these will be required to be posted on the website. No funds were included in the agency's budget to develop and maintain the website. The agency did seek an outside contractor for development, but found the responses were too costly or did not meet the needs of the program. An outside contractor will be used, however, for some of the programming needs. The agency has received commitments for donated hardware and software, anticipates receiving $58,000 from the U.S. Department of Justice for the upfront programming and remaining equipment costs. The subcommittee is recommending $40,790 be allocated from the emergency fund to pay the ongoing costs of operating the website, including a half-time position. Some subcommittee members expressed concern about the staffing level required to develop and maintain the website. As a result, the subcommittee requested the agency to report back to the e-board on the status of the project's development. As a personal aside, I would hope that the agency would work closely with DAS and with our IRMD to see what steps can be taken to reduce the necessary expense of this website, as $40,000 seemed like a large amount. With that, we recommend approval.
Thank you, Representative Smith. Discussion? Objections? The item is approved. Item number 36, Department of State Police, General Government Sub, Senator Westland, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The General Government Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board allocate $231,013 from the Emergency Fund and increase the full-time equivalence of three existing limited-duration positions by 1.32 FTE for the Oregon Wireless Integrated Network Project. The combination of aging and often unreliable state agency wireless systems, the new federal narrowband requirements for mobile radio stations, and the need to have all state and local first responders be able to communicate with each other over a reliable system led the 2005 legislature to instruct the Office of Emergency Management in House Bill 2101 to develop a public safety wireless infrastructure replacement plan for Oregon. At this time, the replacement plan is expected to be in four phases over four biennia, with the planning phase being completed during the 05-07 biennium. The 2-7 legislature will need to address the funding for the three final stages. The October Emergency Board provided funding for the first 6 months of staff cost and the upfront cost for the planning portion of the project. This board wanted the Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology to review the overall direction of the project prior to providing the full funding for the biennium. The agencies presented their plan for the project at the Joint Committee's November meeting, with follow-up information presented at the Joint Committee's meeting earlier this week. The Joint Committee generally accepted the direction being taken by the agencies and will hear an update on the project later in the biennium. The project, during the 05-07 biennium, depends on a combination of existing staff contributed by the State Police and ODOT, financial resources from the Department of Forestry, an engineering contractor funded by federal funds, and Emergency Board funding. The subcommittee recommends an allocation of $231,013 to complete the funding for the project.
Thank you, Senator Weston. Discussion? Objections? The item is approved. Item number 37, Department of State Police, General Government Subcommittee. Representative Boone, please.
Thank you. The General Government Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board increase the other funds expenditure limitation for the Oregon State Police by $200,000 for the purpose of a mobilized impaired driving processing center and for the training of public safety personnel for the new breath analyzers. The Department of Administrative Services is requested to unschedule the limitation increase pending Budget and Management Division and Legislative Fiscal Office review of the plans and costs of the processing center. The National Transportation Safety Administration has made funds available to states for programs relating to driver impairment due to controlled substance or alcohol use. The State Police and Oregon Department of Transportation proposed using a portion of this $200,000 to purchase and equip a mobilized vehicle equipped to process drivers suspected of driving under the influence. A mobile unit would allow the State Police and local law enforcement agencies to process DUI offenders and more efficient to process them more efficiently at large events like the Mount Angel Oktoberfest or Seaside Spring Break. Processing time could be cut in half by more, by cut it by half or more, and allow officers to return to the road in a more timely manner. While the State Police's plan for the unit is still being developed, a similar vehicle purchased by Washington State Police cost $150,000. The balance of the $200,000 will be used to provide training to roughly 3,500 Oregon law enforcement officers on the operation of the new breath analyzers authorized by the 2005 legislature. No funding was provided for the training on the use of these machines.
Thank you, Representative Boone. Is there further discussion? Senator Gordley, please.
Could you please, thank you, Mr. Chair, address how the training will be accomplished?
I personally cannot do that. I'm unaware of how. We didn't discuss that, but perhaps there's somebody in the audience.
I think someone from the LFO staff who will now present, please.
Mr. Chair, Senator Gordley, Doug Wilson, LFO staff. The training portion of this will be done regionally across the state. They are working with DPSST staff in formulating that training, and they hope to use officials from many law enforcement agencies that have expertise in DUI-related issues to do the trainings. There has been some discussion, I heard from at least one member of the department, of actually using the other part of this request, the mobilized unit, for doing some of that training, potentially, if it's ready in time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Further discussion? Are there objections? The item is approved. Item number 38, Department of Veterans Affairs, General Government Sub, Senator Carter, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. The General Government Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board acknowledge receipt of a report on the temporary rules and plans for distribution of $2.6 million appropriated for counties to enhance and expand services provided by County Veterans Services officers and the department. Be instructed to report to the Emergency Board at its April 2006 meeting on the result of public hearings on a permanent rule. Senate Bill 1100 directed the Director of Veterans Affairs to establish a program to enhance and expand the services provided by County Veterans Service Officers. The bill also required that the Director carry out the provisions of the program in consultation with the Association of the Director of Oregon Counties. Senate Bill 5629 appropriated $2.6 million to the Director for this purpose. A budget note included in the budget report on Senate Bill 5629 required the director to report to the emergency board on its progress relative to adopting a rule to distribute by formula funds for this purpose. The formula included in the plan is a contentious issue because the amount provided to Multnomah County is not proportional to the number of veterans residing in the county. The subcommittee understands that the Director of Veterans Affairs has met the letter of the law developing the formula and issuing a temporary rule. However, the final rule still needs to have a public hearing, and we want to ensure public participation be possible at the hearing and that the director engage a work group with broad representation on this issue. The subcommittee recommends the Director of Veterans Affairs engage a work group that consists not only of ODVA staff and the Association of Oregon Counties, but also the County Veterans Service Offices, a representative of the area agencies on aging, staff from the Legislative Fiscal Office, and Department of Administrative Services Budget and Management Division. One or two members of the legislature who worked on Senate Bill 1100 and representatives from National Veterans Services offices, such as the VFW and the DAV, to analyze the perceived real duplication of services to veterans in Multnomah County. The department should report back to the emergency board at its April meeting on the public hearing, final rule, and results of efforts of the work group. In addition, in expectation that this issue will again surface during the 0709 budget hearings, we recommend that along with this work, begin to try to develop an accurate, defensible methodology for evaluation of state funding of services to veterans throughout the state. This should include an analysis of the resources spent by various agencies on a per-veteran, per-county basis with the expressed intent that veterans located throughout the state have reasonably equivalent access to such support services. This information should be brought forward during the review of the Department of Veterans Affairs 0709 budget requests. The subcommittee recommends that the emergency board acknowledge the receipt of the report and instruct the department as recommended.
Thank you, Senator Carr. Discussion? Objections? Oh, Representative Barker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to vote no on this just because the formula for this makes no sense to me. And I've heard from some of the veterans advocates that they are having difficulty at that ground level with the Department of Veterans Affairs. There's a lot of veterans in Washington County. I want to be sure the people in Representative Smith's district get equal access to care, but I don't want to underestimate the amount of veterans, the service to veterans in the Tri-County area. Just because they have some service reps down there at the Edith Green building, doesn't adequately address all the problems that veterans have. And as we, as a country, push the job of being a veteran down, farther down, into people who are joining the service so they can afford college and so on, these people need protection. They're doing a great service for us, as I'm sure all of us recognize, and I don't want any of them shortchanged, especially those coming back from Afghanistan, Iraq, and all the other special forces outposts around the world.
Thank you, Representative Barker. Representative Morgan, please.
Thank you, Mr. Kocher. Your general government subcommittee had a robust discussion on this issue that took quite some time. And you can tell by the detail of the recommendations that we attached to accepting the report that we were really actively looking for a way to get some kind of an objective look at the methodology that the department used in allocating the dollars. And we also, and that we looked at that as kind of the short-term issue. We wanted that work group to convene and do its work before the final rule was adopted by the agency. They're currently progressing under an emergency rule, and they need to go through a final rulemaking process on that. But in the larger picture, there needs to be, I think, work done on an equitable way to address the service provision aspect of this across the state. There are very different issues that are faced in the urban areas of the state in providing services to veterans than there are in the rural areas of the state. And so the longer-term instruction here was to put together a group of people that could look at that equity issue and bring to the next Ways and Means process in the next session of the legislature some way to look at the distribution of those funds to veterans that is equitable across all of the challenges that are offered. The department voiced their support for doing this, and we are hoping that when we receive the report at the next e-board meeting, that we will also receive a report on the progress of the long-term project.
Thank you. Discussion further?
Senator Kern? I just wanted to say thanks very much to the chair for that explanation, because it really was a robust conversation. And we did take in consideration the issue of Multnomah County. But also, even if Multnomah County became a part of the formula, it would imbalance what would happen, say, in Bend, Oregon, or some other parts of the state. So it is a complicated issue. But if nothing else came out of this, the thing that did come out was that the state director, regardless to what his feelings are, needs to talk with the directors in these different counties. No matter how much folk hate each other, this is a statewide effort, and we want all veterans across this state to have equal access to opportunity. Back to Representative Barker's comments. So it was a great meeting.
Senator Devlin, please. Thank you, Senator Carter.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Just a clarification, if I can, to Representative Morgan. My understanding of this is we're accepting a report today. They'll be reporting back to your committee. Will we have another report to take action on at that time? Will it come to the poll?
Mr. Chair, Senator Devlin, yes, if the agency comes back in April with a report, it would go to the subcommittee and then come to the poll committee.
Mr. Co-Chair, I will reserve my judgment and vote in favor at this time, because I believe that the chair and the subcommittee on general government has delivered a message to the Department of Veterans Affairs. And my judgment on whether they heard the message will be reserved for the next time the report comes back.
Thank you, Senator Devlin. Further discussion?
I'd just like to say, with Representative Morgan's explanation, I will vote along the same lines as Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Representative Barks. Further discussion?
Representative Boone.
Oh, Representative Boone.
And we should give credit to Senator Johnson for bringing this to the committee bringing the discussion to the point it was. And I appreciated that, too. And also Jacqueline Zimmer on behalf of the Fort AOD or whatever it is.
Thank you. Further discussion? Are there any objections? The item is approved. Item number 42, Parks and Recreation Department, General Sub. Mr. Westland, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The General Government Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board establish another fund's debt service expenditure limitation of $1,582,747 and increase the lottery fund's debt service expenditure limitation by $400,000 for defeasance of lottery-backed bonds issued in 1998 for the Parks and Recreation Department. The 0507 legislatively adopted budget for Parks and Recreation Department included an expenditure limitation to defease outstanding lottery bonds issued in the late 90s for facility maintenance. As the agency prepared to implement the plan, they learned that the $1.5 million held in trust until the bond is retired requires other funds expenditure limitation to cover the transaction when the debt is retired. In addition, expenditure limitation is needed for an October 05 interest payment and administrative costs related to defeasing the bonds, which were not included in the OPRD's estimated cost when the budget was adopted. In order to ensure sufficient expenditure limitation is available to meet the interest payments and administrative costs, the department is requesting an additional $400,000 in lottery funds expenditure limitation. The General Government Subcommittee recommends your approval. And as an aside, Mr. Chair, I will thank Susie Jordan for the vocabulary lesson this morning. Defiance. Am I saying that right?
No, you screwed it up.
That's okay. Defeas. Whatever, however you say it, it means youth challenge program available. It means to offset existing debt interest costs, usually on debt with a prepayment penalty, with income from yield-producing securities or money market instruments.
I think you need another lesson, Representative.
Yeah, I had this down, you know.
Is there further discussion, please? Objections? The item is approved. We go to item number 43, Parks and Recreation Department. General Sub, recognize Representative Boone, please.
And I'm going to give a little preamble. I have not wordsmithed it yet, and my blood sugar is really low, so if I start stuttering, we'll blame the drafter. The General Government Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board approve the establishment of one limited duration full-time position, 0.67 FTE, to address increased workload resulting from changes in purchasing laws and preparation for the 2006 Oregon State Fair. The Parks and Recreation Department is requesting a limited duration full-time procurement and specialist 3 position to address an increase in workload. The position would provide expertise in developing, administering, negotiating, and tracking financial contracts and agreements. In addition, the position would ensure that contracts adhere to state and federal contracting rules and regulations and that payments to contractors are appropriate and timely. The department is experiencing increased workloads in purchasing and contracting activities, primarily related to increased lottery funds available for facility improvement, managing the Oregon State Fair contracts and procurements, and changes to ORS 279, increasing the delegated authority to process and manage contracts previously performed by the Department of Administrative Services. The department expects a workload to be ongoing, but is requesting a limited duration position in order to further evaluate the ongoing nature of the workload. The department plans to shift $99,976 from services and supplies to personal services to cover the cost of the position and therefore does not require an increase in expenditure limitation. The General Government Subcommittee recommends your approval.
Thank you, Representative Boone. Is there discussion? Objections? The item is approved. Item number 44, Parks and Recreation Department. General Sub, Representative Morgan, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The General Government Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board acknowledge receipt of a report on the status of transferring and integrating the Oregon State Fair and Exposition Center to the Parks and Recreation Department. The legislature adopted House Bill 3502, transfers the duties and functions of the Oregon State Fair to the Parks and Recreation Department. The department was directed by budget note to establish an interim work group to assist the department with the transfer of the fair to parks and to report to the Emergency Board on the status of the consolidation in January, July, and December of 2006. The department reports significant progress on the administrative tasks that need to be completed in time for the January 1st, 2006 merger of the fair into parks. Among the accomplishments are the hiring of a new state fair manager, review of the fair manager's business practices and procedures, integration of business systems, and review of past performance to develop strategies for improvement. The Secretary of State has initiated an audit that will include an examination of internal controls, accounting procedures, financial statements, and specific accounts for calendar year 05, and is expected to finalize the audit by March. At the end of the audit, the department will be in a better position to estimate the additional requirements through the end of the biennium. The department also reports that meetings are being held with business leaders about possibilities for an annual fair that reflects the changing demographics and interests of the citizens of Oregon. The Parks Commission has approved a plan to conduct a series of meetings with community, business, and elected leaders in several locations across the state to gather ideas for the vision and future direction of the fair and its facilities. Considerable effort is continuing in the consolidation. The department plans to return to the Emergency Board in April of 2006 with a plan to rebalance revenues, expenditures, and positions in order to situate the department for preparation of the 07-09 budget request. The General Government Subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of the report.
Thank you, Representative Morgan. Is there discussion? Are there objections? The item is approved. We go to item number 45, the Department of State Land General Government Subcommittee. Recognize Senator Carter, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. The General Government Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board increase the other fund's expenditure limitation by $610,042 for facilities maintenance at the State Lands Building, with the understanding that this increase is to be considered one-time in nature and will not be included in the Department's 0709 base budget calculations. The Department of State Lands is requesting an increase in the other fund's expenditure limitation to complete six maintenance projects at the State Lands Building in Salem, in which the department's headquarters is located. DSL worked with DAS to estimate the cost of each project during March 2004 as part of the department's 0507 budget request. DSL included a policy option package for $610,042 other funds in their 0507 budget. However, it was not approved for inclusion by the legislature. Instead, DSL was directed to appear before the emergency board to request expenditure limitation for projects once a plan, including timelines and costs for the projects is developed. DSL's request provided a timeline for each project and a new estimate of the cost for each project that included a 25% inflation factor. The subcommittee discussed this inflation factor and heard other estimates for inflation, ultimately deciding to approve the projects, but not to include any inflation factor. If the final costs are higher and the department projects an other funds expenditure limitation total for the remainder of the 0507 item that is insufficient to absorb these additional costs, then DSL could seek the additional expenditure limitation either from the emergency board or from the 07 Legislative Assembly. The subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you, Senator Carter. Discussion? Objections? The item is approved. We now go to item number 46, Department of State Lands, General Government Sub. Recognize Representative Boone, please.
Thank you. The General Government Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board increase the other funds expenditure limitation by $54,336 for a beach monitoring grant available to the South Slough National Estuarine Research Reserve and establish a one limited duration full-time natural resource specialist to about a half-time equivalent, full-time equivalent position to complete this grant work. The Department of State Lands has entered into an agreement with the Curry Soil and Water Conservation District to conduct bacterial contaminant monitoring for 1 year on beach waters and coastal creeks adjacent to the South Slough Reserve, which DSL oversees. The beach waters to be monitored by DSL include Sunset Beach, which DEQ reports as that one. Which reports as one that most frequently fails to meet bacterial contamination standards set by the federal government. The funding being made available for this work requires a match of $21,320, which DSL will meet using time contributions of permanent staff and through the use of laboratory equipment and workspace at the South Slough Reserve. The subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you, Representative Bonas. Discussion? Objections? Item is approved. Item 47, Department of Fish and Wildlife, General Government Sub. Recognize Representative Morgan, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The General Government Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board increase the other funds expenditure limitation by $574,650 for replacement of ODFW's point-of-sale system, which is used to sell hunting and fishing licenses and tags to the public. The current point-of-sale system is increasingly difficult to maintain and is unable to meet the current and future needs of the agency and the license-buying public. The current system uses an older programming language that is no longer supported, is unable to support new functions such as internet sales of licenses, and is increasingly incapable of meeting fiscal audit requirements. Through an RFP process, ODFW selected Outdoor Central, which met all the requirements and received the highest scores. Outdoor Central is a national leader in license sale technology and currently operates licensing systems in 19 other states. The new point-of-sale system will address all deficiencies of the old system. The new system will be funded through a 72-cent per-fee transaction that is paid to Outdoor Central. This fee covers implementation of the licensing system and an online licensing capability, supplying the point-of-sale devices to ODFW staff and licensed agents, as well as the ongoing hosting, maintenance, and support of the system throughout its life cycle. ODFW will continue to be responsible for customer service licensing support for both agents and public. Committee members, this went before the Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology. They recommended approval of the request, and the subcommittee also recommends approval.
Thank you, Representative Morgan. Is there discussion? Are there objections? Item is approved. Item number 48, Department of Geology and Mineral Industries. Government Subcommittee, Senator Carter, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. You'd be glad to know also that the committee asked questions that you've been asking over the last 6 years, the last three terms. The General Government Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board allocate $98,000 from the Emergency Fund to complete seismic safety assessments as required by Senate Bill 2. Senate Bill 2 requires Dugame to conduct a statewide seismic assessment, which is to be completed by July 1st, 2007. The assessment is to include seismic safety surveys of school buildings that have a capacity of 250 or more persons, hospital buildings, police stations, and fire stations. During the overnight session, when Senate Bill 2 was being considered, the department estimated the total number of buildings that would need seismic assessment to be approximately 3,400. An estimated cost of the project to be $1.3 million. Senate Bill 2 appropriated $500,000 general fund to Dugame, which was enough funding for the assessments to get started. Dugame was to report to the emergency board on its progress and request additional resources as necessary. By better surveying the currently available data on the potential buildings to be assessed, Dugame was able to define the estimated number of buildings requiring a rapid visual screening to 2,800. This refinement and other cost containment actions taken by Dugame, such as training post-secondary students to conduct the actual rapid visual assessment fieldwork, lowered the estimated total project cost to $598,000. Since Senate Bill 2 already appropriated $500,000 for this project, the department currently estimates it will need $98,000 more to complete the assessment. Subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you, Senator Carter. Discussion? President Boone, please.
I just want to say one thing. That the director of Dugame, Dr. Vicki McConnell, I think they did a really good job in effectively using these funds and continuing to cover the entire state. And that's, I think, part of the reason they need a little bit more. But they've compressed it, the work down to probably exactly. They've used old evidence of, or excuse me, old evaluations have already been done, and they're not that old, but they're good enough, and that follow the federal guidelines, and they have utilized the efficiencies, I think, as close as you can get to, and using our money as wisely as we can and get the entire state covered. So it's a real boon to the rural area, too, because otherwise it probably would have been just on the west side.
Further discussion? Objections? Item is approved. Item number 49, Department of Transportation, General Government Service. Representative Smith, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Colleagues, the General Government Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board acknowledge receipt of a report on highway program ending cash balance with direction to return in June with the following information. A description of how these strategies are being used in the development of the 07-09 budget process. B, an analysis of how design-build projects are accelerating project delivery. C, a list of delayed or canceled projects, alternatives for use of available funding, and projects of statewide significance which could be accelerated. And finally, D, a description of how the 08 through 2011 development STIP differs from previously approved developed STIPs. The legislature directed the Oregon Department of Transportation through a budget note to review projected ending balances and report to the emergency board during the interim on actions taken to ensure there is an appropriate ending balance. In its report, ODOT identified several strategies that they are using to manage ending cash balances. A key issue is the sale of bonds to finance projects. The legislature authorized ODOT to sell bonds and raise rates to repay the bonds, but no bonds were sold in the 03-05 biennium for highway projects. ODOT plans to sell fewer bonds during 05 and 07 because of the available revenue and ending balance. This reduces the ending balance, but it does not take advantage of additional funds that could be used for projects by issuing bonds. It may also be important because of the expectation of the legislature to achieve as many projects as possible in a shorter period of time than has occurred historically. While progress is being made, issues identified by LFO need to be addressed as ODOT continues to evaluate its strategies to maximize resources and move as efficiently and effectively as possible to delivery of projects. The General Government Subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of the report with instructions.
Thank you, Representative Smith. This is discussion. Objections? The item is approved. Item number 55, Department of Administrative Services, General Government Sub. Recognize Senator Westland, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The General Government Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board approve the proposed uniform rent rates and recommend to the 2007 Legislative Assembly that an appropriate amount sufficient to pay rentals under the rates for agencies occupying space in uniform rent rate facilities. ORS 276390 requires the Department of Administrative Services to submit to the Emergency Board a schedule of proposed uniform rent rates for the upcoming biennium. Once it approves a proposed rental rate schedule, the statute requires the Emergency Board to recommend to the next regular General Assembly session that it appropriate for each agency occupying space in such a building or facility an amount sufficient to pay rentals required under the schedule. The proposed monthly per square foot rates are $1.36 for office space, a 4-cent increase over the current biennium, and 47 cents for storage space, unchanged from the current biennium. Rental fees finance building costs, including construction, management, insurance, operation, repair, utilities, and security. The proposed increase in the rental rate for the office space covers the cost of projected inflation in direct services and supplies and debt service. The department will not increase rates for storage space. The department has taken steps to minimize rate increases without sacrificing needed services and maintenance. Your subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you, Senator Weston. Discussion? Yes, Representative Cook, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just briefly, I want to take this opportunity again, since we're on the subject of rents and leases, to urge Department of Administrative Services and the Joint Legislative Committee on Audits to review all of the state's leases on property so that we make sure that we don't have another floor being rented by an agency for 10 years and never being used, as we've discovered with Department of Human Services. This is very important. I think it's long overdue because I know of two other circumstances where this has occurred in the last year and a half. So I would again urge that DAS and the Audits Committee take a look at that.
Thank you, Representative Cook. For discussion? Objections? Item is approved. The item number 56, Department of Administrative Services, General Government Sub. Representative Smith, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Colleagues, the General Government Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board acknowledge receipt of a status report on the Computing and Network Infrastructure Consolidation Project, better known as CNIC. The legislature previously approved the consolidation of data center operations and the construction of a new state data center. The budget report for the budget bill that funded the transition of 12 state agency data center operations to the new state data center in its continued operation included a budget note requiring the Department of Administrative Services to report on progress of the consolidation effort to each meeting of the Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology and the Emergency Board. The project is on schedule, and the department now expects to have all 12 agencies' data centers transferred to the data center by the end of this calendar year. The state data center has assumed network management responsibilities. The transfer of the three largest data centers, which include DAS, Human Services, and the Department of Transportation, will take place during the following months and are targeted for completion by June 30th of 06. Following the consolidation of the Big Three, operations of the remaining nine agencies will be transferred to the state data center. All transfers are being planned to minimize disruptions during key periods and are being coordinated by and with agency staff. Additional analysis of the original plan for transfer of activities and staffing responsibilities is being conducted. It is expected that this will be completed by March of 06 and reported to this committee to the subcommittee and to the emergency board if adjustments to original budget and cost estimates are deemed warranted. The department's report was also submitted to the Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology for its review on January 17th. That committee conducted a thorough review of the report and continues to monitor the project. The subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of this report.
Thank you, Representative Smith. Discussion? Objections? Item is approved. Item number 57, Department of Administrative Services, General Government Sub. Senator Carter, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. The General Government Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board increase the other fund's expenditure limitation by $3.3 million to continue development of the Oregon Procurement Informational Network with instructions. The legislature approved the replacement of the older vendor information program and online vendor registration and bid request program with a newer, more robust, and enhanced system as part of the department's 0103 operating budget. The Oregon Procurement Information Network is a phased project that was to be implemented across several biennia. Additional funding was approved in the department's 0305 budget for the second phase of system development. However, phase one took longer than originally planned, and phase two was not begun during the 0305 biennium. The Department of Administrative Services 0507 budget request was developed mid-2004 and did not anticipate the need for expenditure limitation to continue phase two of the project. Departmental budget resources focused on development of the budget for the new state data center and reworking the budget of the Information Resource and Management Division. As a result, the department failed to surface the need to carry over expenditure limitations for phase two of the Orphan project. The Orphan project has been the subject of legislative review and approval. The department has the funds for the project as they were part of a sale of certificate of participation in early 2005. The department now needs the other funds expenditure limitation necessary to complete phase two of the project, which is expected to be completed by June 30th, 07. To maintain legislative oversight of this project, the subcommittee recommends that the department be instructed to provide a project update report to the Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology in the fall of 2006, and again to the appropriate Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee during budget hearings in 07. The subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you. Senator Carter, is there a discussion? Yes, Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Just very quickly, colleagues, I would encourage all of you, if you get a chance, to get online and take a look at the Orphan system. This is definitely good government and very good for small business in the state of Oregon. So, great job.
Thank you, Representative Smith. Discussion? Further objections? Item approved. Item number 59, Department of Administrative Services. Education Sub. Representative Krupp, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Education Subcommittee recommends the Emergency Board acknowledge receipt a report on the statewide applicability of the hiring practices and training issues contained in the report on the Oregon Youth Authority Youth Safety and Abuse Prevention Review Committee. Issues related to sexual abuse of youth offenders by a former Oregon Youth Authority juvenile parole and probation officer caused the OYA to form a Youth Safety and Abuse Prevention Review Committee and to make recommendations for improvement. That committee's report was submitted to the Emergency Board in October of 2005. The Emergency Board then asked the Department of Administrative Services to report to the January 2006 meeting of the Emergency Board on the statewide applicability of the hiring practices and training issues contained in the report. The Department's Human Resources Services Division staff has identified four recommendations in the committee report that have statewide applicability. DAS found that state agencies are currently utilizing these approaches as appropriate to their agency needs and cited several specific examples. The agency reaffirmed its commitment to continue to coordinate and share with agencies recruiting and hiring practices that have statewide applicability. DAS also reported that it presently offers general management training, leadership training, technical training, and other work skills training that support the committee's recommendations and are available to state agencies. DAS will partner with agencies to expand the availability of needed training, and DAS will continue to work with OIA to determine their management training needs. The subcommittee recommends the Emergency Board acknowledge receipt of the report.
Thank you, Representative Krupp. For the discussion. Objections? Item approved. Item number 62, Department of State, please. General Government Subcommittee and Representative Morgan will take us home.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The General Government Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board allocate $659,254 from the Emergency Fund to approve the establishment of 10 permanent positions, which equals 6.38 FTE, for the establishment of the Evidence Tech Program, and establish a reservation of $900,910 in the Emergency Fund available through April 30th, 2006, with conditions for additional trooper positions for the Department of State Police. In response to the concern over the number of troopers patrolling state highways, a two-part proposal was crafted to increase the amount of resources dedicated to providing patrol coverage. First, the Evidence Technician Program is reestablished by creating 10 new non-sworn positions that will free up time currently spent by sworn staff in processing and tracking evidence. This program was eliminated during the 0103 budget shortfalls. These new evidence techs will be located across the state and will free up the equivalent of 8 troopers for patrolling the highways in the near future. The cost of this part of the proposal is $659,254. Second, the subcommittee recommends establishing a reservation of $900,910 in the emergency fund for up to 10 additional trooper positions. The state police will need to return to the April Emergency Board to access the funding. The agency estimates it will have a sufficient number of candidates to begin a recruit school in May to fill any vacant sworn positions currently in the budget, as well as an additional 10 positions. The subcommittee discussed the current status of the agency's vacant and double-filled positions, robustly, I might add, and what impact they and future retirements will have on the need for additional trooper positions. As a result, the subcommittee instructed the agency to update this information if it requests funding from the reservation. Before receiving funding from the proposed reservation, the subcommittee recommends that the state police meet the following conditions. First, the agency must have hired or have substantially completed the hiring process for the 10 evidence program positions. Secondly, there must be a sufficient number of eligible recruits to fill at least 20 existing vacant and funded sworn positions. Third, a recruit school must be scheduled to begin May 1st or soon thereafter. Fourth, there must be eligible recruits to fill any additional trooper positions authorized by the Emergency Board. And finally, the funding for any new trooper positions, as well as the evidence program positions, must be used for the purposes they were designated. The subcommittee also recommends the agency continue to report on the agency's financial status, as well as its vacant and double-filled positions at each of the remaining Emergency Board meetings during 2006. Your subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you, Representative Morgan. Discussion. Representative Boone, please.
I just wanted to say that I brought my copies. I never copy emails, but this is what I received, and I'm sure you all did too, from people all around the state about this issue, and I'm very happy to say that we're doing this and doing the right thing again and making a good effort, a good faith effort to restoring our troopers on the highway. And about half hour ago, we just started the graduation ceremony at Camp Rylea, which I would have been if I hadn't been here, of 19 new troopers, and they should be sworn in by now and having cake, I'm sure.
Senator Schrader, please.
Yeah, I think this is a great action. I think it well thought through, both from a fiscal standpoint and a safety standpoint, reaching out to some of the discussion I've had with another good senator, a friend of mine, that talked about the morale of this particular unit over all the years. So I think this is an important thing to do. And the only other thing I'd ask is that the department come forward with how this will hopefully help them in some of their performance measures with accidents, fatal car crashes, that sort of thing. Because I think we are in a performance-based budgeting system here, and this should be a clear way where we can show that there's cause and effect and benefit from going down this road.
Thank you. For discussion, Representative Parker, please.
Thank you, and I appreciate that we're doing this finally, as we need to get more and more troopers on the road, and I think we're going to have to move to having them attend the DPSST school, where they can put them in a few at a time instead of having to wait till they have 20 or 40 or something, and get some good basic training there, which is
readily available, especially with the new facility. I also would like to compliment the present superintendent on doing something to overcome a huge animosity between the Troopers Union and the State Police Management. This has just been there historically forever. The State Police, and when I was a member of the State Police, they used to say, we were formed to bust unions, not to have unions. And I mean, people literally lost their careers over saying, I think we ought to have a union in those days. This superintendent has gone out of his way to try and diminish that and work with the union to get things going again. And so with that conflict out of the way, I'm looking forward to seeing over the next several years the State Police being reestablished like they once were, so that our highways are safe and the people on the highways, when they break down, will receive immediate help or help very quickly thereafter, especially in the rural areas. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Parker. Further, Senator Devin, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. One thing I wanted to state on this is that we all know, going patrol division, a number of other divisions, the ups and downs we've had in terms of how many positions they have had authorized, and particularly in the patrol division. And I have faith in the superintendent and in the state police that they will be able to find enough recruits to be able to fill some of their current vacancies and the needs that they will have under this. But we also need to understand the challenge that they have in finding those, because the certainty that they have in going out and recruiting someone for this position, the hesitancy out there to know that a qualified applicant, when he is a, he or she are, when they are applying, that their position will still exist a year later, is a difficulty, to be quite honest, because there's not a great deal of certainty out there on what the level will be within those divisions. So when you're going out and trying to get the best qualified people, whether it's forensics or whether it's patrol division, you got to have such uncertainty, it creates problems in getting qualified applicants.
Thank you, Senator Devlin. Senator Burns, please.
I too just want to weigh in, and I'm glad that we came up with a solution. But I'd also like to this solution is, I think, is just a first step, because we really do need the troopers on the highway to protect us. But I haven't heard the discussion of the other interdiction area that I'm sure that they're involved in, and that this body has really have been working hard, and that's the whole issue of the methamphetamine. And, you know, I know, and some of us that are familiar with the work, that you've got this I-5 corridor and 101, where they're also involved in assisting to catch those individuals who are trying to bring the drugs up from Mexico up through to Canada. So I think in addition to the need to help to keep our highways safe, they're also providing another service in working with our federal agencies and our local counties and local sheriffs. So I just need to put that on the record.
Thank you, Senator Winters. Okay, Senator...
Okay, thank you. Just briefly, let us also remember that the Oregon State Police are part of our emergency preparedness system, the system that we're trying to build. And presently, we do not have 24/7 coverage on all of our Oregon highways. And that's a huge issue and challenge as we look at how we're going to build the infrastructure that will serve us in a time of disaster or catastrophe.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I spent 12 years running up and down I-5 and two state highways as a volunteer firefighter working with Oregon State Troopers. And the work they do is unbelievably difficult at times. The highway environment is very dangerous, very dangerous. And we've lost troopers not that long ago because of the danger of that. They do extraordinarily difficult work, and they put in a lot of overtime, and it affects their lives, their family lives. It affects their morale sometimes because they're asked to do so much. And the signal that we've sent them today is, I have already heard from a number of troopers on my personal email last night, a great deal of appreciation and a sense that we care about them. And it's a good thing that we've done here today. And I continue to believe that They're a very, very highly valued organization. They're very professional. I'm very proud of them, and I do hope that we continue to move forward with meeting the needs with this agency in the coming years. Thank you.
Yes, Representative Carter, did you wish to speak?
No.
Senator?
Senator
Schrader. Do you want to speak?
Well, I apologize for one more spiel, but I do want to thank the Senate President and the Speaker for bringing this item forward. I think the Department of State Police ought to recognize their leadership in dealing with this issue. It's a very difficult issue. Governor's office has contributed, which we appreciate, but I think without leadership of the two people to my left here, this sort of thing would never have occurred, and I think it shows high regard by this legislative body, and I want to thank them personally for bringing this forward.
Thank you, Senator. Can I ask Co-Chair, Speaker, minutes, please?
Thank you. I happened to catch the robust debate that was going on yesterday in committee, and when they were discussing the state of the state police, the condition, and I heard the speech about, well, this is the legislature's fault. This is the legislature's fault. Anybody that knows me knows I've spent 27 years sending my husband out the door as a Portland police officer, and I'm extremely sensitive to officer safety. And we watched over the last 20 years the executive branch governors present their budgets that presented cuts to this agency, probably before Goldschmidt. I watched it happen every 2 years. Those budgets cut the state police. So it was with great delight in 1999 when I was a freshman lawmaker and I sat on the Public Safety Subcommittee under the chairmanship of Senator Ben Westland, Representative Ben Westland, when we funded 100 positions for the Oregon State Police. I was delighted. I remember a female police officer with the Oregon State Trooper came in and talked about being out in the middle of nowhere and having stopped a car that had two felons in the car, and she was by herself. She had no cover. And I remember that story. I remember going out and touring their office out here. And I remember what great delight I felt personally that we allocated dollars for 100 new positions for the state police. And so I must tell you, I was stunned when I heard that statement, because as soon as we got out of session, John Kitzhaber, then governor, told the agency to not fill the positions. Public safety is important, and it should be a priority. The safety of our citizens should be number one, but also the safety of the officers that serve on the roads. This is a small step forward. I'm pleased that we got agreement and could move forward. But not only does the legislature need to make this agency a priority, the governors of the state need to make them a priority as well. So hopefully next session there'll be an improvement on what we experienced this session, and I look forward to working with the governor in continuing to rebuild this department. Thank you, Mr. President.
Take us back here, speak a minute. It's a fair discussion.
Mr. President, since I was a robust person yesterday talking on this issue, I feel that it would be appropriate for me to make myself realized and known who the robust person was. The governor has one vote. The legislature has been known to disapprove what the governor has proposed. And I don't care whether the governor is Democrat or Republican. That is not my issue. My issue is that if we wanted to provide true leadership on some of these issues, we would rescind the governor's action. And I'm not against rescinding a governor's action. I've been known to do that in the past. And somewhere along the line, the legislature does need to take leadership on these kind of issues and do what is necessary, not only this one, but also in the area of mental health.
And that's why I mentioned, Madam Speaker, yesterday, the legislature. I can't do anything about the executive department. I don't work for the state of Oregon. I represent 114,000 people in North Northeast Portland, and I don't mind standing up for that is right, and the legislature being able to rescind the actions of a governor when it does what it does, even if it takes the next time around to rescind that. And I still uphold that true to be true, and I still stand tall in being the robust person that says it's part of the legislature's fault as to why we continue to make the state police the whipping boy of agencies in this state.
With all due respect, Senator, after we left the building, Governor Kitzhaber told the agency to not fill the positions, with all due respect. And then we went into a recession. So, you know what? I think we all want the same thing. You and I both want the same thing.
That's right.
Is there any objections to this item? The item is approved. Senator Gordon Lee, please. The chair, did you want to say something?
I just wanted to offer a bit of history trivia.
To what? To the life? Or to
no. No. Contrary to long-standing mythology, the original real Vikings did not have horns on their helmets.
Senator Gorley, do you have a presentation?
Yes, Representative Krupp, before you go, I'd like you to be around for this. And I'm going to ask Senator Winters for her help in making this presentation to our President, Mr. President, and Madam Speaker. Point of personal privilege, if I may.
Granted.
Speaking as a member of this body, but also as a member of the National Alliance on Mental Illness, I'd like to present you both with the Oregon State Hospital Repair Kit. Senator Winters?
Here it comes.
This
somebody got a camera?
This repair kit symbolizes the quality of leadership that you both have demonstrated and committed.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know there was another. Okay, I'm sorry.
The quality of leadership that you both have demonstrated and committed to at last and on our watch address issues surrounding the Oregon State Hospital. We can't control what happened in the past, but we can control what we do now and next. And so, Madam Speaker and Mr. President, you have committed to tear down the walls of legislative inertia and to build in its place hope for the patients and the dedicated staff at the Oregon State Hospital and hope for all of those Oregon citizens who live with mental illness. More will be required of all of us, in order to build a community-based mental health system where patients can receive better outcomes. Again, I honor and respect and thank you for the quality of your leadership. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I'm speechless.
Are there any other...
Just very quickly.
Yes.
I also need a point of personal privilege. Just very quickly, I have an obligation to attend to, in that I need to congratulate the Vail Vikings and the Nyssa Bulldogs for their outstanding season in 2A football, especially Nyssa in their winning of the state championship, but also Vail in their thrashing of the Heppner Mustangs in the semifinals of the football state football championship. Now, just very quickly, I want to point out that Heppner was 11-0 going into the semi-football game, had taken it to White River, had taken it to Blanchette, had taken it to Amity, who had for five years, had never lost a game on their home field until the Heppner Mustangs arrived in town.
Who Heppner Mustangs?
Heppner, who had won 7 straight league championships with never losing a game in their conference, met the Vail Bulldogs, who thrashed the Heppner Mustangs, and as a result, caused me to be the recipient of this hat for congratulating the Vail Vikings in their great season. So I'm keeping my obligation. This was a challenge between Representative Butler and myself that somehow ended up on the front page or the front page of the sports section of the East Oregonian, and so I'm keeping my commitment. So,
thank you, Representative Smith. For what it's worth, you have to do your research in some place, the athletic team to plant yet. Senator Devin.
Yeah, very quickly, Mr. Chairman. I just ask consent that I be recorded as an aye on the two in block items that were at the beginning.
Hey, you aren't here, buddy.
Yeah. Okay, we'll do that. We acknowledge that the two in block items, Senator Devin, wishes to be recorded as aye. Is there anything else you're coming for this e-board, LFO, any other thing? Again, Teresa Q, thank you for coming on board and helping us. We're very happy you're here. This emergency board is adjourned.